I'm fine. My name is Sal Chandler. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm looking for Miss Jenny Summers.
It's very busy today. Maybe you'll give me your name?
My name's Axel Foley.
And what it's pertaining?
I didn't understand what you said.
Pertaining, what it's meaning, regarding.
Oh, what's it regarding? I'm an old acquaintance of hers.
Danae? One moment. Don't run and tell Miss Summers that Mr. Ahmed Foley is here to see...
Axel Foley. Axel.
Ahmed, Achwell?
Axel.
Foley is here to see her. These are old acquaintance. Donnie, this is covered this up. It's
I'm
like
sorry.
The breast of
sorry.
A dog to scrub for the customer. It's not sexy, it's animal.
No, it's not sexy at all.
May I offer you something to drink? Wine, a cocktail, espresso?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
I'll make it myself right back there with a little lemon twist. It's good. Try it.
No, I'm fine.
I see you look at this piece.
Yeah, I was wondering how much something like this went for.
$130,000.
Get the fuck out of here!
No, I cannot. It's serious because it's very important piece.
Have you ever sold one of these?
Sell it yesterday to a collector.
Get the fuck out of here!
It's serious, I said it myself.
Axel Foley, what on earth are you doing here?
How you doing?
I'm fine. Hold a second. I'll be right down.
Great. Excuse me, Serge.
Listening to Noir Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
What's up, Doc?
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Wile E. Coyote, genius. I am not selling anything, nor am I working my way through college. So let's get down to cases. You are a rabbit, and I am going to eat you for supper. Now, don't try to get away. I am more muscular, more cunning, faster, and larger than you are, and I'm a genius, while you could hardly pass the entrance examinations to kindergarten. So, I'll give you the customary 2 minutes to say your prayers.
I'm sorry, Mac. The lady of the house ain't home, and besides, we mailed you people a check last week.
Why do they always want to do it the hard way?
It's Thursday, Thursday's the day before Friday, and the day after Wednesday, 2 days after Tuesday, Thursday, Thursday, 3 days out from Monday, a full week from Thursday, a fortnight from the next. Cereal on the car hood, Yoo-hoo near the hubcap, cheese dip in the cup holder, how can I decide? If only my car worked, we could spend today partying, partying, but mostly saying the word partying.
Why is there a rapper here? Why exactly am I here? Did I just rhyme here with here? I am getting out of here.
That was a rapper, which makes this a real song. Fun, 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 lots of fun. The rapper made this real fun, 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 fun. So much fun, we're having fun. Fun is what we're having fun. Fun, 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 fun.
I now present an act that no other performer has ever dared to execute. In fairness, I must warn those with weak constitutions to leave the theater for this performance. Lights? Thank you. Some appropriate music, maestro? Thank you. First, I drink a generous portion of gasoline. Then, some nitroglycerine. A goodly amount of gunpowder. Some uranium-238. Shake well. Strike an ordinary match. Girls, you'd better hold on to your boyfriends. Swallow the match. So. That's terrific, Daffy. They loved it. They want more. I know, but I can only do it once.
Yeah. myself. My name is Mud.
And remember, Mud spelled backwards is dumb.
Blue, yeah!
Woo! Hey, everyone! Good times! It's Friday! Yeah! Hey, everybody, it's Norm Mulberry, and I'm your host of the J Strum. Welcome to the show. We talk film, television, and pop culture. How's it going, everyone?
I do the show also with Steven the Pop Culture Zone.
Hey, Steven! Oh.
How's it going?
We also do it with Laura, the Nim Fitness Guru. Ooh. Hi,
that's
Laura. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
We also do the show with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hi.
How is it going, sir?
It's going.
It's great to have you guys back. Last week, we didn't have Bill or Laura. We had Adam instead, and he did a good job filling in for you guys.
Yeah, I enjoyed the show.
He pulled double duty.
All right.
He did a good job.
Good job, Adam. But it's great to have you guys back. I'm glad you guys are here with me to do this here show, and it's awesome. Good times. Good stuff. All right, that's all I got.
All right. Time to go.
Only 5 minutes passed. No, hey, Bill.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bill, you know, we went to AllCon last Saturday, and that was an experience, wasn't it?
It was.
Was it?
I didn't go to AllCon.
You're going next year, Bill.
I am. I've already made that decision.
We're totally going. You know what? It was surreal, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
The next day and then a couple of days passed, I'm like, do we really go to that? It was fun.
I hear those cons, those big geek cons like that, are big, like, sex hangouts for geeks.
Really?
Yeah, I guess because, you know, they all dress up and kind of lose their inhibitions,
oh.
And it's the one time a year that they can all kind of congregate, and it turns into a huge sex fest.
Nice.
Good
I
to
had
know.
No idea. We didn't
I know,
get invited.
Isn't that kind of, if you guys knew that while you were there, you'd probably be kind of creeped out.
We didn't get invited to any geek orgies.
No, we didn't
or
get invited.
But I want to thank Rick Gutierrez of United Geeks of States United States of Geekdom. He was awesome. You know, I was kind of nervous when we first got there, but he immediately just made me feel comfortable. And we got to meet Hunter of the Midnight Movie Cowboys and talk to them for a long time. And it was a lot of fun. And just to talk about stuff, it was really cool. And I think the best thing about it was when we sat in the lounge and talked for like an hour before we did the panel.
Yeah.
It really made me feel more comfortable, you know. And you know how you like have to get your talk on? Like you're
well,
ready
like
to get
that
going?
Mindset of, okay.
So corny. Get your talk on.
Getting the mindset of what we're going to talk about, too.
Well, it's like my brain was charged up where I wasn't sitting there going,
And it'd be also
like
different.
That.
It's like you... Well, we got to know them before.
Right.
You know, it's like you go in there and it's like, oh, so kind of get all shy in front of them.
By the time we did the panel, I could
shy.
Tease them and it was no big deal. That's one thing is Rick's going to give me the audio to that and I'll put it on the feed if anybody wants to hear it. I'm sure eventually you'd be like, whatever, but no.
You see, you can hear you guys talking over the huge crowd reactions? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Barely.
Yeah. Barely. Oh. Yeah, Laura. You know, Laura, I know she didn't sit at the table with us. I think as soon as you walked in, you were like, no.
I was trying to keep Heather company.
Yeah, that was nice.
Liar.
I was like, hey, why isn't Laura up here? Then I was like, nah, I won't make her come up here. But I think, you know, there wasn't that many people in there, but I think it was
more
of a...
if Laura had been wearing the steampunk outfit or something.
Yeah. But I think it would have been... I think what it was about was getting to meet Rick and Hunter and us talking about podcasting and stuff. And originally, you know, it was a bigger group invited. Maybe next year it'll be more people because
when I first heard about it, because, you know, it's a smaller con. You remember that scene in Best Worst Movie where they go to London to a Comic Con convention and they're doing a Q&A about Troll 2 and there's like four guys and
yeah.
Like, old people sleeping. Oh man, I kind of pictured that.
Yeah, it was really cool. I liked that. I honestly liked that it wasn't a room full of people. That would have made me
there
weren't really
200 people in there.
That would have seriously
hanging
made me nervous because I mean I may talk a lot on this show, but I'm not really good with
in front of people.
Yeah. I've done it before in like when I was in that band or whatever. It was when I was extremely inebriated.
Yes, I remember there's that.
Wait,
you were in a band?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a singer.
That's awesome.
But what it is, I don't drink anymore, so there was no getting inebriated before this. I just was myself, so... And you know what? I felt comfortable, and I was actually proud of myself for not being an idiot and like being all nervous, you know, not having like, oh, my stomach hurts, I'm gassy. Oh, no. I'm going to cut one right here in this room.
Listen to this.
Steven would have appreciated
the door is shut in here. It's going to be horrible. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for that, Rick. Thanks for inviting us. Now, guys, we also have a lot of voicemail, huh?
All right.
Our first one is from Todd. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys, from Nowhere in Mulberry. This is Todd from the ATL. I just wanted to call in and say I thought that Awesome Sauce was just a great episode.
Nice.
And I wanted to give props to Adam. Did an awesome job filling in for the Bill. And
the
just
Bill.
Hope
the Bill.
Maybe we'll get to hear
That's
from
my new
him
name.
If any of you other guys are out. I say he's a very good fill-in. So, also... I post up stuff on Facebook all the time, and I often wonder, hey, I wonder if anybody, you know, reads this stuff that I post up. Well, I actually got lucky last week where I posted up something, and Rick, of all people, posted on there. So I was like a major, and I felt pretty good about that. So I kind of got, you know, your feeling as far as, you know, when you want people to look at go to the website and give you a review. So I kind of was like, well, yeah, that was pretty good. So. I just want to say I hope you guys have a great show, and see you later. Bye.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate that. And I know what he's talking about.
So
like,
now you know how feedback feels.
Yeah. But like on Facebook, do you ever post something you think is funny and it's just nothing? It's like crickets. And I'm like, you know what? Screw all you people on my friends list. Don't have time to look at this and think it's funny and click a like.
At least
you're
do a like.
Friend of mine.
Why didn't they click like?
How you doing?
Well, there was a while I kept doing those old sayings, but I'd leave off the end and let people fill in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you like to get in the activity with people.
No, interactive.
Confuse them? But, some of my friends would fill in. So... I just stopped doing it. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think we all agree Facebook's stupid, right?
Yeah, I'm getting to that point.
It's good to read stuff my dad says, like fringe theories. That's good.
I love reading your dad's stuff.
As long as he doesn't spoil anything for me.
Yeah, he's really good at the spoiling. You have to be careful with him, though. If there's something
why
you haven't seen.
Why do they always want to do it the hard way?
Is he the type of person that kind of... Does he not realize he's doing it?
No, I don't think he does.
Because he thinks it's funny.
He doesn't realize anything he's doing. Now, now we got another voicemail. This one from Mike. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry guys. It's Mike from Ireland.
All right.
Mulberry guys and gal. Laura, are you an angel? And possibly Adam from the Bay Area. Mulberry lads, basically. I wanted to talk to you guys about the fight. Sorry, the fighter. That's, like all the Oscar nominations and all that. It was a bit of a crazy. I mean, it just seems a bit OTT, to be quite honest. That guy's family are like cartoon characters and all that. I just can't see why it got nominated for the Oscars at all.
Absolutely.
Really weird as well is that the last episode Bill was on. He started getting into talking about the Oscars, which was cool because you don't do those Oscar shows anymore. I know that it must be pretty hard to keep going for 3 or 4 hours while the Oscar ceremony is on. But I think I really would have liked when he had commentaries.
There's just no payoff
on the just passed Oscars because it was so poor. A really, really weird, really strange James Franco, lame Anne Hathaway jokes.
He was
but
high.
The movie selection as well, really strange. Why wasn't Christopher Nolan nominated for director? Our best director. I mean, it seems ridiculous. Inception is a heavily directed film. But, I know the Oscars are a complete waste of time. And I totally agree with you, Jason. Once Exit to the Grift Shop didn't win the documentary. It was just like, yeah, boring.
Yeah, you know, just like, oh, well, that's why I tuned in,
it's
bye.
It's just really, really strange why The Fighter was even on that list. It's just not in the same caliber as the other films. And, yeah, I suppose
well, they had like 20
job.
Movies nominated, didn't they?
Not boy. What's his name? Oh, good God damn it. What's his goddamn name? Christian Bale. But I mean, it's he kind of wanders into the overacting kind of territory a lot in the movie. It just, you know, I know it's kind of hard to probably try and bring some life into the human block of wood that is Mark Wahlberg. But I just don't get it, you know. I just can't understand the Oscars generally. It just seems to have run its course. Sorry, I have nothing actually entertaining to say in this voicemail. I was going to leave you a voicemail last week. I was going to comment on the fact that, yeah, I know, I keep referring to the fact that I'm from Ireland. It's kind of weird because I would never normally do that. But for some reason,
sounds
my voicemail
like he's from America.
It seems to be the only thing I can talk about, which is really odd. But yeah, I was going to leave you a voicemail, but
you can't tell people
the day
in
I was going to do it was
like,
Thursday.
So am I.
Thursday, March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. So I was like, no, better not. So I ended up not voicemailing it at all. I don't know why I do that going on about stuff. But I do think it's interesting when I hear you guys talk about people from New Jersey and it's kind of the attitude they have. You know, I'm from Jersey. You know, it's like, oh, sick. You know, but we have a very similar attitude to people from Cork in the south of the country. You know, they kind of have this, Cork's the real capital and so on. And they call it the People's Republic of Cork and they wear T-shirts. You just want to shoot them in the head. It's a real inferiority complex thing, you know. But, yeah, that's my new little tidbit about Ireland. For the week. No more. I will talk about generic pop culture in the future.
Aww.
Since we're speaking about Cork, your word of the week is langer, which is a word for idiot.
Good to know.
Okay.
So see ya, langers.
Hey! Thanks, Mike. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I like the little interesting tidbits about Ireland.
Does every like state have this one area where people are way too proud that they're from that area and just annoy everybody else?
I think
it's
the whole state
be
of
like
Texas
that
is
everywhere.
Yeah,
well, it's like you know, well, I guess when he was saying, you know, this is Mike from Ireland. You know, it's like Rick from Australia. Everybody does their from ATL. Todd from ATL.
Yeah, it's funny how
so
that's
it's all
caught
cool
on.
I like that because it also lets you know
where they're from. That is awesome.
I hear they get real angry in India, like the people that are from Delhi and the people that are from New Delhi. People from New Delhi think it's much better than Delhi.
Like they call it Old Delhi and it's insulting. Yeah. Oh, you're from Old Delhi.
Rotten Delhi.
Rotten Delhi.
All right, guys, we have another voicemail. This one from Sean. Let's check it out.
Hi, Mulberry. It's Sean here in Los Angeles. I just wanted
it's underwater.
To call and share a quick story about how Mulberry, an old school episode, kind of snuck its way into my life, and there was just a whole bunch of weird coincidences that made for a really weird day. So at work, somehow, a conversation with a bunch of my coworkers jumped to the film Antitrust. Yeah, the great classic film Antitrust that I know, you know, Mulberry loves and I expect a future commentary for, you know, definitely probably around the time the Blu-ray hits. Anyway, we're just talking about how awesomely bad Antitrust was, blah, blah. And literally that night I was cooking dinner, listening to a random old school episode, and what are you guys talking about but Antitrust? And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And of course I laughed at how you guys ripped it apart and said how ridiculous it was. And
that
was awesome. But even stranger was literally that same night, just a little later, I got a text message when I was watching TV from my coworker, and he said, you'll never guess what's on TV right now. On AMC. Antitrust.
Hell yeah.
So I had to switch over to it because, you know, unfortunately, I didn't pick up the DVD when it came out. And so that was the only way I could watch it. And it was so good. Right? Genius movie. What the hell is that movie doing on AMC anyway? American movie classics. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that because I thought it was weird how Antitrust found its way into my life, and that was partly because of Noah and Mulberry.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my boring story for the week. Have a great show tonight, everyone, and talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
Thanks, Sean. Now, Ryan Philippe, Filippi. Phil, how do you say his name? Anyway, he's a pimp in that movie, isn't he, Bill? That movie.
He is. He's awesome. He knows his computers.
That movie's the bomb, yo. And man, Tim Robbins is evil. Oh.
I love the two girls in it, though. They're so hot.
Hell yeah. There's the girl from Claire, She's All That and Claire Forlani.
Claire Forlani and shit, what is She's All That girl's name?
She's the girl from She's All That. You know who it is.
I know she hangs around
and
with Steven that whole
Go.
Robot
What's her
chicken
name?
Crew.
She's
from Josie and the Pussycats.
That's right. Her name is
Rachel Lee Cook.
That's it. I was about to say it. Thanks, Bill. Awesome movie, Sean. I'm glad that we spread the gospel on antitrust. And now, Laura, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Well, you got to watch it this week. All
I think my favorite part of antitrust is whenever he has to break into the daycare center on the campus of the place, mm-hmm. because that's where the mainframe computer is hidden inside of like a kid's play place.
Yeah, it's a very tense scene
something.
You're speaking well, like of, the, Bill. Very tense.
And the art mouse in the courtyard is the satellite dish.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very believable film.
It's also clandestine.
Good
you know,
word.
You know what the movie was? It was...
Shit?
It was a trendsetter, Bill. It was before its time. It's really awesome. Guys, let's check out Entertainment! Woohoo! Yeah! All right, guys, I want to talk about this new movie, Zack Snyder's movie Sucker Punch.
Oh!
Ouch. And I've been going around. I want people to go, you know, I want to say, hey, do you guys know what Sucker Punch is? No. What's Sucker Punch? And you then you go, well, look over there. Oh. And go, that's what a Sucker Punch is, bitch! But it didn't work out like that. So.
I was hoping that, like, the tagline for the post would be, you've been Sucker Punch.
Bitch, you just got Sucker Punch! Or something like that. But, Bill, I have not seen the film, but here's my problem with it. Of course, you know, when we saw 300, I enjoyed 300. I'll admit it to anybody. I love 300. I've got it on HD DVD. It's a fun movie. It's
What's
kind
this
of
you say about madness on Emmaus? This is Sparta!
Yeah, on Emmaus, that is right. He's in there. This is madness! He gets kicked into a pit, poor guy. But,
calm down on Emmaus. Go back to the ludus.
But the thing is, Bill, about 300 is when it came out, do you remember that a lot of people were like, hey, looks like a video game? Exactly. And
I would press X and that would happen all the time.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it looks like a, okay, or whatever. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're clever. And then, you know, Watchmen, the movie came out.
Watchmen. Loved,
you know what? It was funny because when it came out, I enjoyed it. But, you know, it could have been better. And then the director's cut came out, Bill. And we both talked about how much we love the director's cut.
Yeah. Because I didn't like the theatrical cut. In fact, I had problems with the... you know, the squid ending.
Right.
I kind of like the original ending. But then the director's cut expanded on characters and kind of fleshed it out a little more. And just, it's a much better film.
It's fleshed out so much more. And there's emotion to it. When I first saw it, I was kind of in this euphoric giddiness over seeing it. And then when you see the actual director's cut, you realize, holy shit, this is so much better.
It's an epic film
director's cut. I won't go into it a lot, but the whole Dr. Manhattan going nuts on the TV show,
that is so
ruined in the theatrical version. There's no weight to it at all where you feel like he's going nuts. And the director's cut, complete opposite, it's emotional.
Yep.
Malarkey.
And I'm a big fan of Zack Snyder, and I forgot to mention this last week. He did that Owl movie I love so much, mm-hmm. the Guardians of Ga'Hoole, or whatever it's called. And I really
Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Ga'Hoole.
Right,
Watchmen the movie.
Yes, okay, Gene. We already got past that. We're talking about something else. Yeah, we're done with. But seriously, Bill, we're fans of him. Am I right? Am I don't want to speak for you guys, but you guys like Zack Snyder too. Mm-hmm. There's even parts of Dawn of the Dead I really like. And
You know what? I think if they just had changed the zombies, made them slow, and then cut out the whole pregnant zombie baby thing.
We're past the owls, Foggy. My God. Okay, we're on to zombies now. Okay,
so
you catch up?
You're a fan of the slow zombies.
Well, here, I talked about this last week, Bill. I don't know if you heard this, but where I hate the whole ending credit sequence where they're on a boat.
Yes, the cheat. You didn't like that?
Well, here's why I don't like it. Put it in the movie, not in the credit sequence.
I thought
sequence.
It was really creepy.
It is creepy, but put it in the movie. I don't want it in a gimmicky credit sequence. Do you know what
I mean? You know the part that really bothered me was whenever they thought they were going to get to a new house that was in like the bayou, and they're on the boat, and then they go down the river, and then all these people come out in front of the house, and they're like, "Oh no,
oh,
they
Bill,
took our house."
You're confusing that with the colony, Bill.
Damn it!
No, but Bill, am I right? The credits are it's where you put the bloopers and stuff. That's what we learned from Cannonball
the
Run.
The head falls off. How
Yeah, absolutely. In like you know, whenever Dom DeLuise was in it, and
I want to see zombies flubbing their lines.
And he goes,
"They have lines."
Yeah, instead of brains, you know, he's like a spleen. Oh, damn it. Cut. Damn it, zombie. It's brains.
And there's a zombie comes walking out with a foot in its mouth.
Like, that's supposed to be a hand. What the hell? So anyway, Sucker Punch has come out, right?
Yes.
And for instance, if you go on Entertainment Weekly, which I do from time to time, I don't know why.
Wait, that's because you have a Mary Hart fetish.
Who?
Really?
Are you talking about Entertainment Tonight?
I said
Entertainment Week.
Oh, you know what? Same thing.
But
I think he has a Mary Hart fetish.
Yes. No, I'm more of a Lisa Gibbons fan myself, though. I like Lisa. But anyway...
Lisa.
The review of it, before it gets into how much they did dislike Sucker Punch, they go into how much they didn't like 300 or Watchmen, the movie. So
that should put up a red alarm.
So I'm like, oh, this should be good. And it's just like, what's the point?
Oh!
Yeah, I want to Sucker Punch that bitch.
It's getting horrible reviews.
Yes, I've seen bad ones. I've seen good ones. I honestly don't care, though, because if I would have gone by reviews when 300 came out, Bill, I never would have seen it. Am I right?
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, this movie, it looks like a video game and it's really violent.
Well, I don't know about that because we had foreknowledge of the comic.
The visuals have sold me on this. If I go, you know, if I go see it, I'm like, man, the movie's visually stunning. But, you know, not much of a story, whatever. I get that. It even looks like, you and I have talked about it, it looks like that kind of movie, doesn't it? Like where it's going to be badass or whatever. When the movie's over, it's like, hey, not much of a story, but man, look like an awesome video game. Where's my controller, right, Bill?
Yes. No.
Now, Laura, do you have any
video game?
Yeah, I want to see it.
Controller shit, you could cram up your butt. Because I hate that. I really, really hate that.
That's the thing you got to say. It looks like a video game. Now, Bill, you saw Paul last week, and just I know that you. I saw on Twitter that you were kind of you were disappointed by it because, and you know, I've read some reviews of that. That's disappointing. Mainly, what I've seen is that it veers off track. Is it midway through the movie, or is it pretty early on, or is it like
you know what? It's pretty early on. It's I would say after about 40 minutes. And it's probably about an hour and 40 minutes.
Is it? So, you know, the main thing, like from the trailers and stuff, you know, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost looks great. There's an alien. You wonder, where is this movie going? Is it going to be like Starman, the military hunting him down, or what? And that's what it kind of looks like. Is it a spoof of all those type of government agents chasing alien type movie?
I honestly can't say it's a spoof because it takes itself so seriously. Maybe an homage,
right?
Because it's not a parody in any way of
Inspired
any film.
By?
There are ridiculous amount of film references in it.
Right.
To the point of oversaturation. Just way, way, way too many. Most of them don't work.
Yeah, it's just like, there's a point. I mean, I've said this before about Family Guy, is the reason I have a problem with Family Guy. I know a lot of people love Family Guy. Steven, you love the hell out of it.
I don't love
it. It's this. It's like, I'm going to reach back. Oh, pat myself on the back. That's a great reference right there to whatever, you know, so-and-so. And sure, there's references. We reference things, but it feels like it's piling on. You know what I mean?
No, nothing like The Simpsons where it's clever.
Right. It just feels
I've watched the past few Simpsons episodes, which have been brilliant, just hilarious throughout.
But then the opposite, Family Guy, where I...
They beat you over the head with...
Well, I'm just like, oh, instead of saying, that was clever, I think I say... Oh, that was clever. You know, like that. Like, oh, I guess. You know, I have a really bad attitude when it comes to Family Guy. Hey, to each his own, but I dislike Family Guy.
Yeah, it's on in the middle of the mornings when I'm awake, and I'll have it on TBS or Cartoon Network or whatever, and it's just painful.
And so
I don't find that it's mean. One, it's mean-spirited, and two, it thinks it's hilarious.
And so
it gets under my skin.
And Paul, they kind of pile up the movie references where you're like, okay.
They pile up the movie references, and it gets to be too much. But also, some of them are really rather obscure for more geeky centered movie references.
Get like stuff. Out of here.
No,
I cannot. It's hilarious.
And spit.
Right.
So, but I think my biggest problem with it is if it just would have stuck to being a road film with the two characters of Graham and shit, I can't remember the other name.
Simon
but if it just
Pegg
would have stuck with
Frost.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and Paul, I think it would have been a better film. Because they start adding members to the party, and it gets this weird territory once they come across the Kristen Wiig character that's kind of your cliched Bible Belt Christian who just spouts scripture completely out of context of any situation. And then they get into the whole, well, there is no God stuff, and it's really kind of beat you over the head, anti-religion, pro-science stuff that honestly just doesn't work at all in the context of the film.
Did who wrote this? Was it Simon Pegg?
It was Simon and Nick, yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I mean, I'll eventually see it. My enthusiasm for seeing it in the theater has waned a bit where I want to see Sucker Punch now. And that's why I am. I got a short attention span, Steven.
I think if you go into Paul in a tempered, this isn't going to be great, but I'm going to enjoy what I
like
see.
That, Bill. That's how I see all movies.
Yeah, that's true. But it was incredibly disappointing for what I sort of expected, because I kind of expected a spaced kind of thing, because with Spaced they did a lot of tongue-in-cheek references.
That's too bad.
But it worked. In this, just doesn't work. There's a quality missing, like a care.
Bill, I'm going to say Edgar Wright, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Because
they were missing some sort of compass.
Right.
Like, it still felt that, like, they were sitting in a room going, hey, I got a great idea for a film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, what if we do this? No, wait. Oh, if we do this, that would be even better. Oh, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, it just didn't work well.
All right. When did the comic book movie start coming out? When does Captain America and all that come out?
I think the first one is Thor in May.
Thor. Yeah, I'll go see Thor. I'm excited about that. Why not?
See a little Thor?
You know, we talked about this a little bit all con, Bill. We were talking about what our favorites were, you know, what we were looking forward to. And there was like Captain America, yes, Thor, hey, why not? Green Lantern,
Was anybody kind of underwhelmed by the Captain America trailer?
Not me so much.
I don't know. It just it kind of has that Joe Johnston stink on it.
I like Joe Johnston, though. Like,
I don't know. It's a little heavy-handed, especially with the scrawny Steve Rogers stuff.
Yeah, but see, I'm going to wait and watch the movie.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm excited about Captain America, the character, being a movie and Chris Evans playing it. And, yeah, he's supposed to be scrawny. I didn't know he's going to be that scrawny. It's kind of funny. It's basically,
it's really kind of creepy. It's very Uncanny Valley.
I didn't know he looked like me in high school, you know? Like,
well, he's got this massive head and this scrawny little body, and it's like, this don't look right.
Yeah, I'll get past that. What the hell? But I really, I'm excited about it. And, hey.
I think, didn't we talk a little about the revamped Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I don't care.
I'm not, you know, I guess I'm just not the biggest Captain America
guy. I am. I definitely am, though. There was a period of time where I read it monthly. So I am excited about Cap.
What drew you to Captain America?
I don't know. Maybe it's because he was in the Avengers and it just split off. And I was like, hey, I'm going to read his individual adventures. Whatever. He's a cool character. He's that leader. Maybe it's being the leader of the Avengers, seeing a guy who knows what he's doing in combat and stuff. That's what I'm ready to see in the movie, is for him to fight and be a badass and throw his shield and stuff.
Well, I've been very impressed by the Red Skull stuff, so I'm looking forward to it. Anytime Hugo Weaving gets to ham it up as a villain, I'm in.
You know what's funny is, like, on Ain't It Cool News or whatever, it's like, new Cap trailer, he throws his shield or whatever. I'm like, oh, what the hell, I'm going to see this. If you blink, you miss it. It literally is that fast. It's like, why even say anything about it? God, give me a break. But guys, what do you say we get into what's on our TiVo? You guys want to do that?
Yeah, hey, yeah,
what
let's
about
do
you,
it.
Our Bill, are you cool with that?
Yes.
Let's do it. Wee-hee!
I am going to eat you for supper.
Ah! Well, I hope I taste good. Hey, guys, this week on Cake Boss, a wrestler came to visit.
Nice.
You mean like a real wrestler, like an Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler?
No, more like a second-rate The Rock.
Oh, a play wrestler.
I don't know how much this guy is popular, Bill, but his name is Santino, and he's an Italian wrestler. And he has like a massive, major unibrow going. Is that just drawn on or is that real?
Yeah, I think whenever you have a unibrow, that's kind of the thing that you don't want to draw on.
Yeah, but I almost wanted to go back and look when he was in the shop, like, did he have the unibrow? But I didn't.
He's playing the character of that, so they draw it in.
But of course, Buddy's sister, you know, she's not with Remy anymore, so she's real excited when she sees him, Bill. What is that sister's name? I forget.
Lisa.
Lisa, yeah. She gets really excited, and then they start talking to the wrestling guy. Oh, let's check
it out. I hope this one doesn't go after 14-year-old girls.
Buddy, you are not going to believe who's downstairs.
Who?
Santino Marella.
The Hulk Hogan?
From WWE, the wrestler, is downstairs.
All right, let me come down.
Oh, God, wait. I got to catch my breath. My heart is pounding.
For those of you who don't know, Santino Marella is a professional wrestler.
Oh, I didn't know.
And at the Bakery, really big wrestling fans. And Santino, he's one of our favorites.
You're a liar,
because he's
buddy.
From Italy. Hey, how you doing? How's everything going, Santino?
Oh, excellent, excellent. I'm here for my consultation.
Okay, you need to get a cake?
I need to get a cake.
All right, come
on. I have some great ideas, and I'm really excited to do this.
All right, come on in the back. Come on, man.
He sounds Japanese.
That's it. Hey, guys, come over here. Danny, Frankie, Mauro, come here.
Santino is here because he wants a cake for a segment on the WWE TV show.
Santino, Mauro, Donato.
How you doing?
Franguch.
Franguch.
He
he's going to be promoting their big WrestleMania event, which is kind of like their Super Bowl.
It's a very spectacular event, something that's going to catch the eye. It's going to be tasty, of course, because I'm going to probably put it in the face of my opponent.
You're
going
to smash it in the face?
Like sweat?
After I taste it, of course.
So I think of so many different things that, you know, come to mind when I think of wrestling, no?
Thing is, we're wrestling. It's all over the top.
Is that guy playing the bass guitar while Buddy talks?
My envisionment for this WrestleMania cake is like a tower of molten rock with lava rushing all over. And we'll do modeling chocolate figures of all the different wrestlers all trying to climb up. Because at the very top is the wrestling ring. And exploding out of that is Santino's hand holding the WWE logo. We'll light it up with some red lights. And to really
this
make it
be
extreme,
the ugliest cake
real
he's ever
fireworks shooting out all over the place. And if you don't like
it, it looks
that,
like a
poo mouth.
I'm going
to roll you out like a piece of dough because I'm Buddy the Baker. Woo!
Okay, so, you a bad guy or a good guy?
Good guy?
No.
Look, in pro wrestling, there's good guys and there's bad guys. Santino, don't tell him I said so, but he's kind of like in between.
He's an asshole.
For this Santino WrestleMania cake, I got Ralphie Boy sculpting an arm, popping out of the ring, holding the WWE logo.
Do you want me to give you the cobra?
You just do whatever's going to make you happy.
Yes, Mary.
I could just bother you. Let's see if you can work like this.
That's all right. I'm going home. Have fun.
Bye.
All right, guys. Everybody come check out the cake.
And Mary was
all right, listen. We
got
to give it a test run because I want
to
make
up
sure
on Ralphie
that it's got a good reaction. Go.
This looks so stupid. They have sparklers all over the cake. Looks like shit.
She wants a mustache ride.
She wants a curly mustache ride.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
That was amazing.
Wow. Now, when they lit those sparklers and everyone's going, yeah, woohoo, were you like going, underwhelming?
Yeah, notice, you know, I was kind of laughing to myself because only one of his cakes could have so many sparklers on it and not have it damage the icing, the shell, the massive shell of fondant and royal icing on that piece of shit.
Who wants a mustache ride?
Yeah, and it's got that isomalt, Bill. Have you heard of the isomalt?
Isomalt? I hear you can get lava rocks out of isomalt.
And I think it's funny. You know, I know why Buddy does it, or because someone is a first-time viewer every episode, right? But he's explained the isomalt I don't know how many times. You know, you pour the shit in the thing and you dump it in ice and it looks like it's plastic shit, but it's edible or something. But anyway, he goes to the WrestleMania TV studio, Bill. And it's really dark in there and all the boys get really scared.
Oh, no.
And then Santino shows up and I don't even think this guy knows where he is. He just seems kind of strange.
He thinks he's in Italy.
WrestleMania, baby, here we come.
Uh-oh, what's that?
The thing is, when we get there, my guy's a little nervous. They're looking over their shoulder like we're going to get whacked or something.
This doesn't look good, Frenchie.
I don't like the dog in this room.
I don't like this dog.
Oh, my God.
I'm not afraid of the dark, but it just doesn't look,
dude.
Whacked with a balsa wood chair.
Yeah, these guys beat each other up. It's all fun and games until you get hit with a chair. I've always dreamed of being on WWE, throwing down. If I get hit one time and it really hurts, I'll just play dead.
That's it. Play dead. They won't beat you up anymore.
I have a feeling that if you get hit once, you don't have to play dead.
Yeah.
Hey, Santino. Huh? Whoa. Let me take it in here. What am I even seeing? This is a cake?
This is all cake.
This is a masterpiece.
That's you coming to the
top right there?
Santino, I got one more thing I want to show you about this cake. Ready, boys? One.
Hey, you're going to melt it.
What?
What? Now, this is a masterpiece. WrestleMania.
So I thought the cake was for a promotion. But for Santino, it's more like a self-promotion. But hey, I just bake cakes. You know, my cakes don't usually last too long after they've been
rare
delivered.
Occasion music
but
stop.
That's because they usually get eaten.
Oh! Yeah! This was a classic case of misunderstanding. I was presenting a surprise. The cake was actually
basically
very delicious.
What happens is all the WWE divas come out
what he had coming to him.
Apart,
but I will say my cakes taste as good as they look.
It was, like, really bad. Even worse than regular Cake Boss standards, Bill.
Yeah. It's like, and, you know, once you start thinking about it, you know, what they were going to do with the cake, you're like, oh, so that's why they used a million different layers of hard icing on it. And
I was
and
waiting for pound one, of cake. The, one of the divas to take the isomalt and jam it in his eye. It's like,
it's ice malt. You put it in a bucket with ice. It looks like lava rock.
Oh, my God. It's like a skewer. So, guys, let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice.
It's really, really bad.
It was, Steven. You need to catch that, by the way.
Yeah, and we're not even getting into the psychic. Yeah.
You know what? What it is I have to pick a storyline on Cake Boss and just run with it. We don't have time for both storylines. The other one was a psychic cake.
I'm a psychic.
You should have made it look like a giant one of those eight balls, and you shake it up.
One thing I hate is like when I hate when someone says, "I don't believe in psychics," but I know some people they have some kind of ability. Or it's like, no, just say yes or no. If you don't believe in it, you don't think anyone has psychic abilities. Okay, just stop it.
Exactly.
Don't like go, but some people, because you don't want to insult the psychic that's on your show.
Don't
but
feed into their delusion.
Right. It's Now, Bill, let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice, because this one is very Busey centric, and we all know he's an insane genius, right? Mm-hmm.
And he's also mentally handicapped.
You know what? The funny thing about this is they have to do something that has to do with campers and camping and just make it look nice. And really, Mark McGrath and Richard Hatch do the best thing where they order trees and hedges, don't they? Where they make it look presentable. And the cowboy guy, I forget his name, he orders a bunch of big signs. And that wins
John
him.
John Breach.
Yeah, that wins him the task because the poor Nikki Taylor, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yes.
She just, I think the women are all going to suck until you get rid of Star Jones and Dionne Warwick.
Oh, God.
It's you got to get rid of them.
Concept by Dionne Warwick. Star Jones.
Yeah, story by Star Jones.
Yeah, they decorated the inside of their cabin.
They tried to make it a little trailers fancy. Or whatever. They didn't really get the point of the thing. They wanted to do like they were doing makeovers or something, but it's like, yeah,
if somebody's taking a camper somewhere, they're not going to worry about having a bowl of fruit on the table
or
potpourri.
I thought it was funny how the table is like she was decorating, like places are made with placemats and you got the forks in the right places. It's like, it's a friggin' camper, all right?
Yeah.
Put a can of friggin' Wolf Brand chili on the counter.
You're sleeping
some paper plates on and hot dogs. And
you're sleeping on the worst cushions available. Yeah. And
the cool thing,
I hated when I would go camping with my friends and they had one of those campers that it popped up and have the table that turns into a bed. And it was those foam cushions
that are
you might
like
as well slept on the cold ground.
You know what? One of my favorite parts in this is when the camper guy was there and he goes, "Hey, you know what's behind this sign right here?" And he's like, "What?" And he opens it up and there's a flat screen TV. And he's like, "Oh,
yeah, Meatloaf just looked like a
and
jackass."
And then Mark McGrath goes, "Oh, dude, that's under there. Good idea showing that." And he's like, "No, the camper guy showed it." And he goes, "Oh, dude, that's no good." It's just funny. But we got these great clips of Gary Busey being insane. Let's check it out.
Definitely not a good project manager. He's a great actor, but a terrible project manager.
Gary, how would you like to task everyone?
I want to go to Camping World and find out the best things to bring in here to make it a family camping thing. Camping for the family. And the backpack for everyone with the containments in the backpack, the compass and the first aid kit, and the things you do when you hike away from here, being the home base. This is the home base, and we'll fly out like little drones and we're camping.
Wait a second. I have absolutely no idea what direction we were going. Woof.
Everybody, come on down to Camping World.
Less educated.
I will not be happy
every week that guy's got to write a song.
Stereotypes my audience as low intelligent or folks that can't think or have their own money,
which is why I brought it up.
And if anybody in this van wants to step up on that subject, I will be more than happy to square off with you about it.
That's why I'm saying.
Please be careful when talking about my audience.
That's why I'm bringing it up, because I think.
Well, be careful how you bring it up.
Seriously, do not disrespect country music fans. don't do it.
But I asked you, I told you,
they're morons and they can't defend themselves.
Jerry, you don't remember really, dude? I mean, this.
When? Don't ask me if I remember. I don't.
Yell at me? I told you when we got here. I go, I got no charge for this, but the delivery's going to cost $300 or $400. I'll know tomorrow. I have to cancel my guys if I can't pay him, right?
How's it going?
Okay.
How's Gary from a directional standpoint?
He tends to sometimes not focus.
So do you think it's part shtick, the whole wild man thing, or how's it going?
It's wonderful.
Yeah?
The team I have, everyone is like a different color in the rainbow.
So what is Jose doing?
Jose's doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's just sitting there.
It's normally not a very good sign when I come to observe a team in their element and someone doesn't show any particular amount of energy or enthusiasm for the task.
I would like to escort you to the Coleman.
Yeah, I'd love to take a look. See you later.
Follow me.
So how are you guys working together?
I feel good about everything.
Consider yourselves lucky.
I'm going to give you the definition of lucky with the word just
now. Now or later?
Now.
Okay.
L-U-C-K-Y stands for Living Under Correct Knowledge Yearly.
How do you come up with this?
What I do is I take the letters of the word and spell the word and create a definition for the word.
Like freedom. F-R-E-E-D-O-M. Facing real exciting energy. Developing out of miracles.
You are a character.
I can't say that I've ever worked with anyone quite like Gary because it's I think there are no other
guys. Don't keep him benign.
He is a
not like a little sympathy laugh.
All right. Yay!
Yeah, Gary's nuts, right?
Was he nuts before the motorcycle accident, or
probably.
Is this all side effects from it's part not wearing a helmet?
I think it's some side. He's got brain damage from it.
That's an understatement. I mean, he's got scrambled eggs for brains.
I'm going to pull your endocrine system out of your body.
I don't know what he's.
That's the greatest threat of all time, by the way. It really is. I want him to say that to Meatloaf, because they've showed a million times the part where Meatloaf goes, "You got about 4 seconds before I kill you," or something like that. They show it every episode, but it hasn't happened yet. So when it happens, I'm going to be like, hey.
I was in Black Dog.
Black Dog. I'm a close personal friend of Randy Travis. Man, can you guys believe, though, those country and Western fans? God.
Seriously,
they're so
do
dumb.
Not disrespect country music fans.
Oh,
don't do it.
Okay, sorry, buddy.
If they didn't wear the hats, their brains would fall out of their heads.
And I think, you know, I don't like Richard Hatch, but I think he was trying to define what
I hate Apollo.
Yeah, me too. By the way, we saw him at Alcon, by the way, Bill. But
no shit.
Yeah. And you know what? The Richard Hatch on this show, he's in jail right now. So I wonder how far he got in this competition, because is he going to be in an orange jumpsuit in the finale in chains or what?
Not this last year.
Live from prison.
Living under correct knowledge yearly.
Why just yearly?
I love where he's like, Gary, do you remember when I asked you for the money? He's like,
when?
When? He gets all mad. And then later you find out that he got hooked up with hearing aids because he had really bad hearing. Where did he say, like, how much, like 40% hearing, or was it worse
he
than
was
that?
Legally deaf.
He was legally deaf. So that's why he was like.
And Molly Matten stuck her fingers in his ears and he was healed.
He could only hear 40% or something.
Oh. Well, that's cool. I mean, maybe that explains why he seems so nuts, because he doesn't hear anything.
That's what he said.
He's just nuts.
So do you think it's part shtick?
I think he's nuts.
Because he kept yelling, what? And he goes, no, I don't do that anymore.
And then
he just yelled other weird things.
I did. You know, the one, the model lady, she had no place in the...
No.
On The Apprentice, because you need to throw Dionne Warwick under the bus and get rid of her. She could have easily done it, because they were all like, who do you think is a weak link? It's like Dionne. She just bitches about stuff.
She's just crotchety old lady that no one likes.
Yay!
Yeah, she's like this, it's like they want to stay away from her. They're scared of her. I'd say get rid of her. Now, guys, let's talk about Bill. Bill, let's talk about Marcel's Quantum Kitchen. Which, you know, I tried to, like, place this show. Because, okay, it's on Sci-Fi, and it's not a cooking show. It's a food science show. I don't know. But mainly it is...
I forgot to tag it.
It's a fancier cake boss, Bill. Because what it is...
You're absolutely... Well, you know what I kind of thought of it as? You know what is it called? Something Impossible on Food TV where that Robert Irwin has to cook a meal in a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
By the way, that guy gets on my nerves. The Robert Irwin guy?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He's a douchebag.
Weren't you saying, Bill, that he has his own Kitchen Nightmares ripoff now also?
Yeah, it's Kitchen Impossible, I think it's called.
Kitchen Impossible. There's just something about the guy. I don't know.
And the other show is Dinner Impossible.
Yeah, it's like, dude, think of an original idea or you come up with something else, right? But anyway, on this show, Marcel, you know him from Top Chef. Do you guys know who it is?
Wolverine, yes.
Yeah, you know who it is, right, Laura?
Yeah, I know
Wolverine,
who it is.
Wolverine, Snicky.
He's the guy with the Wolverine haircut. And he's become a caterer for the sake of the show. I don't think he really is in real life. But
he just wants Bill, to be on TV more.
A rich clientele have hired him to wow the people who are at charity events or something like that. So they try to come up with these fancy foods to impress these rich people, I guess. Is that what it seems like?
This first episode, it sure seemed like that. Like there were some crazy Eastern European lady with way too much bronzer on comes in and asks for – she's doing something for some animal thing.
Right, some animal refuge, which they suffered from the land they were going to put it all on got burned up because California catches on fire like every year, basically.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's how that worked. But I thought it was funny that at one point they're like, well, can we get these animals here? Like they actually wanted these endangered animals at their cocktail party.
Yeah, what it does is it makes the people have the checkbooks like, ooh, well, okay, I'll donate some money.
Put the hors d'oeuvres on top of their cages.
You know,
it's like putting orphans at like a fundraiser for orphan children.
Do you remember?
You're orphans.
There's a part, Bill, where they have a tiger on a chain near all the people, and I'm like, oh, somebody's going to get mauled at this thing. Oh, it's so...
That's a disaster.
You've gotten too close! I would just say he's
mean
so...
Mean tree!
He's so beautiful!
Hey, Tiger, want some quantum food?
That's quantum delicious!
That was a tiger, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what? The one thing I like about this show is they have visual overlays on it of arrows and stuff to show how the stuff is made and how they create things, Bill. I thought that was really cool. The graphics, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I liked the technical layout stuff, but the show itself is kind of weak sauce. It's not awesome sauce. It's weak sauce.
I knew that they were struggling for, conflict when Marcel's talking to the party planner and he goes, when are you going to give me a walkthrough on the place? He goes, I'm not. And you hear the music. And I'm like, oh shit, conflict. And there's another part where they almost burn stuff in an oven. But the best part is when the client comes to taste the food and Marcel made like this fried potato nest that's supposed to have an egg in it. And it's, you know, the concept is really neat, but it didn't work. So it looks like a glob of white stuff. And the lady's just kind of grossed out by it. Let's check this out. Oh, and at first he makes this cool thing with oranges and what do you call that stuff?
Liquid nitrogen?
Liquid nitrogen. I thought that was neat, Bill.
Yeah, I would totally eat the orange Jell-O slices.
Yeah, let's check this out. All right, Steven?
Okay.
Liquid nitrogen evaporates really quickly, so when you eat foods frozen by it, you're not actually ingesting liquid nitrogen. It's a tool, like fire. You cook with fire, but you never actually consume it.
The T-1000.
I'm excited. This is very exciting.
Yeah,
when can we go walk the space?
Fire, cool.
I've got three events going on, so I don't see it happening.
So you mean to tell me that before the event, we're not going to walk the space together?
Not together. I mean, you can go sit on your own. I've seen it.
Not being able to walk the venue with the party planner is kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's one thing to talk about a space. It's something completely different to actually go through the space. Basically, if we can't walk the space before the party, we're going to have to show up the day of and kind of like throw everything together at the last minute.
It's a lot of trust and communication, Marcel. It's just going to be a lot on both of our parts.
It's going to be rough. After the meeting with Chester, I kind of have my reservations. I've kind of got a lot riding on
this
one.
It's always unstable when someone's name is Chester.
I'm worried about this party. Doesn't look like these really worked. You see how it's like...
Stay away from my children!
It's been dehydrating in the oven overnight because it took you too long to peel them, slice them, cook them, puree them. This whole process should take about 3 hours, but it took you 8 hours yesterday. If I try to roll this thing up right now, it's not going to work. There needs to be a little bit of moisture left so they're pliable. So you have to make them all over again.
I would have just gone and bought some
at the
store.
I feel on the edge of getting fired. I know that I'm not moving fast enough and this looks like and I'm so sad.
I need you to do what you did yesterday in half the time. I'm concerned that Robin's not going to be able to get it done. If she doesn't pick up the pace a little bit, I'm worried she's not going to be able to keep up at the party tomorrow.
You know what I didn't understand about that part, Bill, is she said she's a caterer where she organizes catering. I didn't think that she had any cooking experience, so why did they have her doing that?
Exactly.
She coordinates stuff. She doesn't make food.
Well, and what I thought was funny is after, you know, they're like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. This girl's horrible. I might have to fire her. And then she actually does what she's hired to do, which is
organize everything.
And they're like, oh, she saved the day.
I forgive her for her apples.
Yeah. I was like, really?
Hello. Thanks for coming.
Oh my gosh, I'm really excited.
So we've got a couple of the dishes or versions of the dishes that we're planning on serving to do a little taste test.
Because of the nature of the
cocktail party, how we're going to be going from room to room.
Yes.
We thought it would be very interesting if we actually provided the guests with a map so they have an idea of where they're going.
I like that.
Then you can actually devour the map afterwards.
Oh, this is fantastic. It's so novel. I love it.
The first room, as you can see by your map, has the Amazon parrots. So we wanted to actually mimic the habitat. So we have a nest that's created out of potato and then a little egg white on top. An egg inside of a nest.
Go ahead and...
cracked open egg.
I think I'm going to fall.
I mean, you don't think it's
she's not English, is she?
Unappetizing. The egg dish was a little disturbing visually. It looks like a dead bird, and I want to see an egg. So I am really concerned that if he doesn't resolve this nest situation by tomorrow, my guests are going to cut into this and be really put off.
And she hates it. We might be screwed on this one.
You could tell he was really embarrassed at that. Like he had red face.
Yeah.
That would have been great. A bugle corn chip in there. That's the beak of the dead.
You have to feed it. You have to puke up on it before you eat it.
It's like they're. It's not disturbing, though, because these aren't endangered birds. There's plenty of them. Go ahead, take another bite. What?
He should have just said to her, it's not a real bird.
Yeah. Take another bite. It's delicious. What was that like a... He made like a tomato foam or something?
Yeah, it was a tomato foam.
He's the foam guy.
He went the super complicated process of draining the water out of a gazillion tomatoes just to get the tomato water.
Couldn't he have bought V8?
And then turned it into foam.
Just go buy some V8.
But that it's got like 7 servings of vegetables in it.
You know what's also funny is that... the beginning where he comes up with these ideas, none of them work. Did you notice that? Like he's
spent
like
half an hour on him trying to inject tomato foam into mozzarella.
Well, also Bill, the cheese snake didn't work at all.
Snake.
Yes, and, the cheese snake with the special cheese.
My favorite part is when he has like his buddies working for him or whatever, and he's like, "Go heat the oven for me. Make sure there's nothing in there." And the guy's like, "Whatever." He just turns it on. So then something in there catches on fire, and it's the fruit roll-up thing. And as Marcel's running out with it on fire to put it outside, the guy goes, "Hey, do you think that'll still be edible?" And just giving him a hard time. I just thought that was hilarious. It's like, eh, whatever. But
I mean, it was. I'll keep watching it, But this first episode was a little weird.
And one thing, I keep reading people saying, why is this on Sci-Fi? It's not on Sci-Fi. It's on Syfy. All right? That's why it's on. For Christ's sake.
People forget that ever since it went to Syfy, that they show different things now. It's more not than just, mention, you know, Bill, reruns of Star Trek The Next Generation.
They show wrestling on there. Enough said, right?
With Santiago.
Yes.
How's that guy's name?
with Santino.
Santiago. Santino and his Cobra finishing move.
Santino, what do you think of our show so far?
Masterpiece.
Thank you. Yeah, he had this part, Bill, where he goes, I do the Cobra. And he goes, I slap my hand up and then I slap my hand down. It's a Cobra. And he jabs you. And they showed a clip of it on the show where he goes quack, 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 real quick. And then he like does a cobra bite in the guy's neck. And the guy's like, oh, and like, falls to the ground. I'm like, holy shit. He just like his whole nervous system went crazy, Bill.
It's like the Vulcan mind meld.
What? Yeah, so we'll keep checking out Marcel's Quantum Kitchen. But you know what it needs? He needs like five sisters working for him. That's what the show needs.
Didn't he make fun of Richard Blaze for the whole molecular gastronomy thing? And now he's doing a show all about it?
I think that... Did he always do that? Did he do it on the earlier season he was on?
No. He's classically French trained, I believe. So he was all snobby.
Sorry, I had to do it. I don't know. I've watched some of...
He actually has ratatouille hidden in his hair.
Aha! There's something about the guy I just think is funny, and I just got to watch him. It's because
he's tiny and he's arrogant.
I'm excited. This is very exciting. Yeah.
I think it's funny, kind of like he gets... When you
just waiting for the blades to pop out of his fingers.
Just watch him, like when he's standing there, just watching the girl do the apple things. You know, it's like driving him nuts. He's like a control freak kind of person. It's just funny to watch it. He almost kind of reminds me of like a small version of that.
Small version.
What's that house flipping show? Flipping Out. He's like that kind of
that really crazy dude.
Kind of wound up.
Yeah.
Thing like that.
It's kind of ridiculous.
All right, guys, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. This is one of those episodes where the whole thing is what happened before when Gordon Ramsay went to these restaurants and about 5 minutes of them visiting.
Luckily, they strapped three of them into this one.
Yeah. The one thing I like is that Gordon goes back over it, but it's kind of sad that he even has to. It's like, don't you guys remember? Come on, if you're watching the show. But it was so silly. The lady, remember, this is the girl who, she owned a restaurant, but she didn't know how to run it. She dated the bartender, Bill. And when Gordon told her she was loopy, she went to the bathroom and wouldn't come out of it.
Yes.
So then there's this little shtick here where, Gordon goes to revisit her and find out where she is. She's in the bathroom, Steven. Oh no. Let's see if there's any cicadas.
Last time I was at Lido, the owner, Lisa, didn't have a clue how to run a business. The food was rotten, the kitchen was filthy dirty, and she couldn't understand why customers weren't showing up. I'm dying to see how a business is doing now. Brace myself.
Hello.
Hey,
how are you, my darling? Good to see you. Well, likewise, good to see you too. God, the atmosphere here is amazing. Uh-huh. Really good. There's one person I can't see. Where is she?
She's at the restroom.
Oh, please.
She's dropping a deuce.
She's in the bathroom?
Yes.
Can I have a word with her?
Let me get her. Thank you. Lisa?
Oh, my God.
Don't go in there for about 10 minutes, Gordon.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Likewise. My goodness me. You look great.
Thank you. You, too.
This place is amazing.
I know. Packed house.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Trust you to be in the bathroom.
I see you change your name to Bobby Bigboard. I can't go out
there. You know, you got to go to the restroom once in a while. He just has bad timing.
Hey, well, you gotta go, right? Gordon's on his way.
No.
Okay, good.
You know what? She did look great.
She did.
She's like really changed everything. And She even got Gordon to make her this meal, she and it looked fantastic. But she's like, oh, I can't eat it, though, because I'm a vegetarian. I was like, boo.
Yeah, that's such a turn-off.
Gordon Ramsay just made her this meal, and she's not going to take a bite? Come on.
Vegetarians are like smokers to me. It's like...
Smokers? It's just, well, the opposite.
Yeah. You don't eat meat? That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's
you might as well smoke a cigarette.
Now, do you guys remember that lady named Cece?
Mm-hmm.
This is scary.
Cece Pizza?
Because, you know, I actually...
Yeah, she did make pizza.
I feared for Gordon's safety when he was at this lady's house. Because she opens the door and she's lost all this weight. But she's still frightening to me.
No, she's actually more frightening.
Yeah, she does this weird...
She's one of those women that looks worse, not fat.
Did you guys see that? Where the way she puts lipstick, she puts a dark outline around her lips where...
Yeah, way too much lip liner.
Like she's been, like, licking the chocolate bowl. She's making a cake or something. She's licking the little propellers on the mixer.
She takes a Q-tip and puts it in a bottle of Hershey syrup.
Yeah.
And puts it around... her lips.
I speak like when Gordon rang the doorbell, she was going, who's at the door? She's like licking a bowl. And he's like, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. So what I love, one thing, we know that Gordon says certain things a lot, and one of them is damn. And it always cracks me up when he does that. When he goes to see that the restaurant is closed, he just delivers this damn that crack
but it's
up.
Always breathy. It has to be. Damn. That's how he knows he's exasperated. Is it's damn, a breath. Damn.
Damn. Damn. Damn. Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh dear. Let's check this out.
It took a lot of tears, but Chef Ramsay gave Cece the tools to succeed. But now, 1 year
I'm
later,
I'm telling you, this pizza place
Anna
will
Vincenzo's.
Work.
Gone.
Chef Ramsay returns to find out that Anna Vincenzo's has gone out of business.
Damn.
Looking for some answers, Chef Ramsay turns to the one person
says
who would give him the
word.
Honest truth. Former server, Ashton.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Now, what happened first off? Did she slip back to her old ways?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like, right when you left?
No.
She's like, well, the prices are way too cheap. So she made the prices.
No. Oh,
but then she also lowered the portion size.
Oh, my
so
God.
So it's like she's doubling
well, now you're just making
and
shit
making
up.
Everything half the size.
Well, that's stupid. Can't believe.
She even killed some of the patrons.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Her father, some of the cicadas, appetizers.
How'd you feel now?
I feel good.
Mm-hmm. You feel good?
I feel good.
Yeah, you look very calm.
She's creeping out.
Relaxed. Okay, so you're at home with the children on a daily basis.
I feel good, but
do you have
I
a job?
These big buggy
you know,
eyes.
You can give me a job. I can work in one of your kitchens.
I can give you a job.
I'd be great to work for you.
Yeah, but I'm not that crazy.
I was like, oh my God, okay, I want no, wait. I'm a different woman now. I'm going to stay calm.
She looked at him like she was going to stab him after he said that. I'm not that crazy.
Or eat him.
I've lost all this weight for nothing. I want to eat an Englishman.
You know, there was this goofy part where he goes to the third restaurant where he's like, you know, saying, hey, this couple, they've been together for so long and they really made it work. Congratulations to all of them. Every food's on the house. And they go, wah, wah, where they showed like the... owner like, what? And he goes, I'm just kidding, everybody. And I was like, why did he say that?
Because it was hilarious.
Hilarious.
The hilarity just, ensued
give
afterwards.
The owner a heart attack. Everything's free. You're paying for it, Gordon.
Fox is paying for that.
You know, he'll tell people, he's like, you know, I failed. I've closed restaurants before. It's nothing to be ashamed of failure. And I think that's great, isn't it?
Well, it's a way to connect.
It really is. What?
You know, he has to share. If you don't share your failure, then it's a failure. A failure.
Gordon just knows how to help.
Your failure, your failure. Yeah.
Damn.
I'm sorry, Steven. Are we keeping you up?
It was a pretty blatant yawn. That makes me sad, Steven. Hey, guys, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the next greatest restaurant in the whole world. And I'm going to tease you guys this. I've come up with my own restaurant, and I'm going to let you guys in on it. I think it would work, and I'm going to friggin' audition in this next season of this show if it's not canceled. It's going to work. It's the best fast food restaurant idea ever, and it came to me as if in a vision.
On the pooper.
On the pooper, and I was really hungry, too, though. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
I'm going home. Have fun.
Bye.
Get your seed shined up, grab a stick of juicy fruit. The taste is gonna move ya. Take a sniff, pull it out. The taste is gonna move ya when you pop it in your mouth. Juicy fruit is gonna move ya. It chews the salt, it gets right to ya. Juicy fruit, the taste is gonna move ya. Give a little nibble, give a little nibble.
Wendy's asks, before you eat your next hamburger, any hamburger, taste the meat.
Give a little nibble.
Is it dry and chewy, or hot and juicy? Is it bland, or is it tasty?
Give a little nibble.
No other hamburger has Wendy's hot and juicy taste. The more you nibble others, the more you'll love Wendy's.
Yeah, right there. Okay.
Oh, hey, Don. Kids know you're into that Rice Krispies.
Mrs. McCormick, can Donnie come out and play?
What did you guys have?
Good old-fashioned oatmeal.
Yeah, good for your game, oatmeal.
Well, guys, Kellogg's Rice Krispies beats oatmeal.
Whoa, serious competition.
It's higher in iron and 8 major vitamins in your oatmeal.
Ooh, that's 2 points for the Rice Krispies expert.
Yeah, but does he know which one of these guys is Pop?
Yeah, he's one with the great outside shot.
Snap, Pop, Rice Krispies.
Monday, what a nightmare, Charlie Brown. From huskies to hustling, from footlights to frostbite. Can a sophisticate like Snoopy survive the wilds of the Yukon?
That must have been some nightmare.
On Monday, I want a McDLT.
Jim got Indiana Avenue.
Tuesday, I want a Coca-Cola.
Jimmy, Illinois Avenue.
The game Monopoly has come to life at McDonald's. Win food, vacations, $1 million. Collect the right game pieces or win instantly.
Today, fries.
Jimmy, Kentucky Avenue. And a Lincoln Town Car.
Do not pass go. Go directly to McDonald's.
Everybody knows how to do that kick. Health kick. You're looking good when you do that kick. Health kick. You pour a glass of milk real tall.
Getting calcium and vitamins and
loving it all.
Boom, baba, boom, baba.
Come on, everybody, do that kick. Health kick. Do that kick. Come on, everybody, do that kick. America's favorite health kick. Milk.
You're looking at the best thing to come along since the Easter Bunny. Cream eggs from Cadbury. Inside this thick Cadbury's Dairy Milk chocolate shell is sweet, creamy filling. Cream eggs from Cadbury.
I'm a raisin broker. I know raisins. But I don't understand this Kellogg's raisin brand. One scoop of raisins in a package is plenty. Scoop and a half is really delicious. Scoop and three quarters will make your head spin. So when Kellogg's went to 2 scoops... nobody could believe it. 2 scoops. I tell you, in the old days, we'd get half a scoop, we'd be dancing in the streets.
Fiber-rich Kellogg's Raisin Bran. 2 scoops is a lot of raisins.
Teddy, see my Skippy. Look, but don't touch. Moon's mom loves me very much. She draws a heart so I can see that she knows Skippy's good for me.
Of all the national brands, only Skippy has both high protein and less sugar. High protein and less sugar for your kids. Now that's good nutrition straight from the heart.
It's all gone, but now that I'm two, I think Mom made this heart just for you.
Skippy, good nutrition straight from the heart.
Got it.
It's the way.
Nothing beats a Stouffer's pizza. Luscious toppings on a French bread crust so crispy brown. All those great ingredients, it's so easy to pick up, but so hard to put down.
Help yourself, help yourself.
yourself. Help yourself to Stouffer's pizza. Real cheese toppings, yes indeed. Just one hand is all you need. Help yourself, help yourself. Help yourself to Stouffer's pizza. Help yourself to Stouffer's pizza.
Give me some razz.
Wild over Rio Viti Royal Raspberry.
Give me some razz.
The taste of fresh raspberries and natural Rio Viti. It's not a watered-down cooler.
Give me some razz. Raspberry.
And try natural peach.
In our world of endless imagination, anything can happen. And those of you who wear Levi's jeans know what I'm talking about. Because anywhere our minds can go, we can follow too. Go ahead, chase a dream. In Levi's jeans.
How do you make a classic Mexican entree like shredded beef enchiladas?
Classic cuisine.
Begin with the finest, freshest tortillas.
Classic cuisine.
Shred the beef so it stays firm and full of flavor.
Classic cuisine.
Then smother it all in a meaty chili. That's how we make a classic Mexican entree. So now you don't have to.
Classic cuisines.
Classic cuisines. All the makings of a classic already made.
Hawaiian punch.
You only have to taste it once.
Taste of a place.
Ooh, far, far away.
Come on and go Hawaiian. Hawaiian punch.
Sail away, sail away.
Hawaiian,
sail away.
It's higher in protein than high protein cereal. And lower in calories than a hamburger. And now it's coated with real oven-baked breadcrumbs for a taste that's crispier than ever before. Mrs. Paul's crispier, crunchier fish sticks and fillets. When was the last time your kids had fun eating something this good?
Come on!
Mrs. Paul's. It tastes good because it is good.
I'm Q-Bert, and I've got all the right moves. I've got the legs, too. First an arcade game, now my own home video game. I'm ready for anything. Staying away from creeps like Ugg and Coily takes a quick mind and lots of fancy footwork. The longer I hop around, the more they're out to get me. Ugg! When they said fame would go to my head, they weren't kidding.
Now for all popular systems.
Not easy being Q-Bert, but it's fun.
In the region of Boyacá in eastern Colombia, the pottery is made by hand and baked in the same ovens used by the ancient ancestors. It is a tradition centuries old. It is part of the heritage, the same heritage that has been passed to Juan Valdez. He picks his coffee as it has been picked for centuries, by hand, bean by bean, only when the time is best. It is no wonder that a country so rich in tradition grows the richest coffee in the world.
Living under correct knowledge yearly.
Yeah. Now, guys, I know you're excited to hear my fast food restaurant idea, but first, I just wanted
you
to...
You can't tease us.
I know.
That.
He's making us wait.
You know, just to punish Rick a little bit for his mean voicemail, I waited till now to play his voicemail. So we're going to play a Rick voicemail right now, Bill.
Oh.
So let's check it out.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's Rick here. Do voicemail time. I love doing that. I don't know. I can't remember when it started, but it was grand. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about a few movies coming out at the moment. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Sucker Punch. I'm I'm going to watch that at the movies.
What's that?
I haven't been to the movies for ages. So I think Sucker Punch will be worth it. And Paul and Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie. So, yeah, those two movies I'm really looking forward to seeing. And I will watch them with a vengeance. And with an... and with a vengeance. I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say. I don't feel great. I feel sick. So it'll be a short voicemail. I need to get back to bed and just rest up, drink some fluids,
poor
and hydrate.
Guy. Drink some V8.
And get rid of this bug that I've got. And sniffles and headache. And
V8, last of the interceptors.
Yeah, bring the mood back up with some I'm sick stories. Sorry. Oh, yeah. This one time I was so sick, right? And everyone was like, man, you look really sick. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm totally sick. And they're like, dude, get some rest. And I'm like, I'm in bed. And they're like, ooh, what are you trying to say? And then the story just keeps going on for too long. So you stop there. Have a great show, and I'll talk to you next week.
Oh, dear Rick.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, the Strokes song, the song from last week was a Strokes song. So there you go. Everybody's happy. Bye, guys. I love you.
Oh, Rick.
Rick, you should get some rest.
I hope you feel better.
Get some fluids. Get in bed.
Rick! No, somebody in the forum named the Stroke song, so I actually knew before that. And you know what's funny? Laura, during the break, she goes, why didn't you play Rick's voicemail? And I was like, oh, what happened? I don't know what happened.
I thought maybe you sent it in late.
No, I just didn't see it sitting right there, but I don't know. Now, guys, let's talk about America's next greatest restaurant ever, which we already know the first one was what, Bill? Bob's Big Boy.
I thought it was Frisch's Big Boy.
Or Kip's Big Boy. Yeah. For some reason, like in California, they had Bob's Big Boy. In Texas, they had Kip's Big Boy. Mm-hmm. And I guess where you live, Bill, they had what, Big Boy?
Frisch's Big Boy.
Who the hell is Frisch? What?
That's not even a name.
He's some Polish son of a bitch.
You know, the best one I went to is Igor's Big Boy. That's good stuff.
All right. I think every, like, whoever, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Did they franchise it?
Franchise it. There you go. Franchise it. Name. Put their name on the front of it.
I so want to open a J-Strom's Big Boy. Oh, yeah.
Okay, Frisch's Big Boy started in Cincinnati. So that's where that comes from.
Ah. All right, guys. Now, you know, these people are pitching these ideas for fast food restaurants. You know, it's not like fine dining. It's casual dining. My favorite kind of food, by the way. That's why I'm going to die young, Steven.
Pitching fast food idea, fastballs.
But quality food. Like, one thing I could tell by the Chipotle guy, this guy is so wound up tight.
Yeah.
He's an OCD nightmare ready to explode. I can tell this guy is unstable. You can tell. Well, there's a clip here that I've got where they're all working the Chipotle. He's, like, gripping his chair, pulling leather off. And I even think he has a knife, and he's cutting his arm. He's a cutter. Yeah, he's like really getting upset. And I'll tell you guys my franchise idea after this Chipotle part.
This is
great because they're all kind of laughing at him too because you could tell he's turning red. He's getting a pinkish hue about him as the black guy's like, yo, what up, bud? We need black olives up in Hurra.
I'm about to lose my mind.
Exactly, Bill. And my favorite is the Indian guy. He has a camera like in the back with the pans, and he's in there like just touching pans and not doing anything. What is he back there? And it's like, it reminded me of Steven, of us in MJ Designs. Like, where's Jason at? He's like in the back, like just sorting things for like an hour, you know?
He's in the back touching pens.
Let's check this out.
It takes a lot of skill and a lot of energy to serve so many people.
Coming through, guys. Coming through. is our position to just sort of sit back and observe and watch these contestants work the stations.
Steve, this is your $4 billion business.
That's scaring me.
So what I'm looking for is people who are willing to adapt in any situation to make sure that it works.
It's noon, and they should be opening the doors now.
This is driving me nuts.
Oh, calm down, you pretty bitch.
Outside the door.
I just turned this coal into a diamond.
So we're already off to a bad start.
You're going to lose customers. People aren't going to wait. They don't have time for lunch service.
Oh, they have time.
It's vegetarian, right?
TV.
It's not? What was supposed to be in there? Give me carnitas in that. Guys, I need a lid for this.
Carnitas.
Oh, my God. It's messing up.
Here's the thing I'm happiest about right now. That this is your restaurant, not mine.
What kind of sorry, it's not a flavor.
Customers are lined up and not eating, and they're probably feeling the pressure, as they should. You notice there's no smiles on their face either.
None.
Hey, how can I help you?
There's Stephanie.
He's
great
about
attitude.
Throw
She's
down.
The first line of defense here.
Is this your side?
Yeah.
You want anything else on it, or we're good?
Thank you. Oh, I love good. It. Good?
Is good?
Huh?
What is Suds doing
good
exactly?
Here?
Move along,
he's putting his apron back on. But he's not really helping. He should be up on the line, right?
Yeah, why is he in the back of the house?
He doesn't want to go to the line.
Sorting pens.
He's hiding.
Yeah. He's trying to be busy doing nothing.
I am looking for the blueberry.
Right, beans, right, beans. Let's go, guys. Let's go. Let's go. Let's pump it up a little bit. Let's go.
I'm salting the
okay,
chips.
We're not out of here. Here I come. You know, I really don't think it's appropriate to be yelling at
him.
Fajitas and rice. Fajitas and rice.
Why is that guy keep yelling?
You know how stressful this
here?
Is for me right now?
Let's go, guys. Let's go. Let's go.
This flat day wants a
yeah, he would not
burrito.
Stop yelling.
Here I come, man. Here I come.
All right. Shut up.
I was going through. I'm watching them just destroy the experience. I mean, it was very tough for me.
I've got to get in there.
The investors walk in the restaurant. I'm like, this is not good.
The counter is a
Grandma
mess.
Grandma wouldn't
there's
like
tomato
this.
Salsa being smeared along the top. There's hey. Cheese.
Oh, God. Oh,
it's so messy. Oh.
I just couldn't take it.
A lot of big orders came in at once.
No, ingredients the papers. Passes out. Bobby Flay passes
out. Specific way to do this.
Okay.
Is this not plugged in?
You're my hero, Bobby.
But Marissa was making burritos using a
this
cold tortilla warmer.
My buttocks are
really
so clenched.
Some bad judgment.
This is
we
embarrassing.
Can't
make burritos back here.
Okay.
We're shutting this down
sure.
And follow me.
Sure. Totally embarrassing.
Down.
You make burritos in front of the customers. It wows them. Okay? It wows them to see that tortilla come out of the tortilla warmer. That's
and
how you do it. It's Chippotopoly.
Wow you because you are creating burrito goodness.
I love that he's like, your warmers, it's not adequate temperature. It's not plugged in. It's like, whoa, this guy is just throwing it
You
down.
Are putting a burrito on a cold warmer, and you're making the burrito even colder.
My restaurant is organized. We have the toppings here, and we have the meat here, and we have the taco shells, and you are messing it all up. And this is a
you mixed the salsa with the toppings. You are going to have to start over.
Yay, totally.
Let's go to Chipotle, look at my layout, and do yours exactly like mine.
He was so flustered, you could tell.
I don't understand why this has to be so difficult.
Chipotle has made over $4 billion, or is it $400 billion? I don't know. But all I know is when I go in there, it's not all quiet and stuff. It's always
hell
busy.
No.
I hated going in there for Heather so much that I discovered that you could order online and you could always keep the order. So that's how I do it, where I just walk up to the register. You
on
know,
your phone.
And I've done that twice, and the guy goes, you're about 5 minutes early, so it's like, oh, sorry, I got to time it perfectly.
You know what the other thing about Chipotle sucks? They're stingy with the meat.
They're stingy. They are. You can do
double meat.
You can double meat and pay extra.
But it's like almost $3 extra for double meat.
If you do a giant burrito, it should have a shitload of meat in there, but it doesn't.
Exactly. You're going to get a burrito, you want meat. You don't want rice.
They use the rice to fill it out, and there's too much rice where the rice is crunchy.
Yeah, way, way too much of that lime rice shit.
It's true. Chipotle is not all it's cracked up to be. In fact, I've got a better idea for a place here, guys.
And?
Now, okay, Bill, you're Bobby Flay. Steven, you're the gay Chipotle guy. Laura, you're that Hispanic bitch.
Hi.
And Curtis, he's in the crapper right now. Okay,
no,
guys.
I've been Curtis.
You have to be the gay.
All right, here is my idea for
He's gonna stink up the whole room.
He took a crap. Trump doesn't like that. That's really gross. All right, guys.
When you take poops, they should be not smelly.
They should smell like money.
They should be in the privacy of their own office. See, I got sophisticated. I didn't see privacy. Privacy.
You need to take more fiber.
All right, guys. Here is my idea. And right. I think this is a good one. It's a winner. All right? Just hear it out. Okay? I'm gonna. Do you want the concept first or the name first?
Concept.
Name.
No, concept, please.
Well, Bill, you're
not talking in a properly anal retentive effeminate voice.
Bill is Bobby Flay's the main host, so I'm gonna go ahead and what did you say? Concept, Bill?
He said name.
Yes.
Or did he say name?
I thought he said name.
All right, it doesn't matter. Okay, here is my concept. Okay.
Okay.
Fast food, but it's good quality food. This isn't going to give you a heart attack and die. It will if you eat there every day, which I would. But it's breakfast food all the time. I'm talking like scrambled eggs, sausage, bacon, but with kind of like tricked up things like waffle fries and get this, even like Orange Julius type drink. Okay,
like a smoothie?
But, no, I wouldn't say Orange Julius was smoothie. It's more of like a whipped up orange juice, wouldn't you say?
Frothy.
It's, you know, if I told you what was actually in an Orange Julius, you'd probably puke.
Okay. I don't want to know because I love that stuff.
Egg whites.
See, that's good. That fits with the name of my place because there's a lot of scrambled dishes. There's omelets and stuff like that. But you get it all manner of day. Steven.
Okay.
Because I love breakfast at any time. Okay, you guys want to hear the name?
Yes.
Let's go.
Scrambies. And the
you
orange
know, there was a breakfast place
Scrambies.
To my apartment next to my apartment in Columbus called Scrambles.
This is called Scrambies. And gets it, I got the mascot. It's an egg, but the bottom of the shell is broke out. You see the two feet. So it's like the chick isn't all the way out, but you see his feet sticking out. And that's the mascot. It's an egg that hasn't hatched completely
isn't
yet.
Isn't that kind of cruel? It's like a stunted development egg.
He's like, wrong. Eat my friends, Scrambies.
Eat my friends.
And the Orange Julius type of drink would be called Scramby Juice. So I'll have a
that's disgusting.
I'll have the meat lover's omelet with some scramby juice and 16 hash browns, please.
16 hash browns.
Come on.
You know what? I think you would have to perfect a sausage gravy biscuit sandwich.
Oh, that sounds good. There would be all that kind of gimmicky breakfast burritos. There would be sausage biscuit. There'd
sausage pancake.
There would be the unstable build, the crescent
dip.
Sandwich. You know, it's not a croissant.
No.
It's a crescent. I would like the sausage.
I like the breakfast idea.
Croissant.
Well, you need I would eat breakfast all day long.
I love
I had
breakfast.
I do. There would even be like Johnny cakes in there. For
Johnny
cakes,
footlong baguette breakfast sandwich.
Like I went from Johnny cakes, and you said footlong. I was like, "Oh, Steven watched Sopranos." So, but seriously, Bill, are you guys willing to invest in my idea? I could get
absolutely.
A chef.
I am.
Scrambies.
We'll have to work
you
on the name.
You need to take it
though.
To the Shark Tank.
Yeah, I don't want that Mark Cuban shooting my idea down. Now, guys, here's a part where poor Marissa, who I thought was really cute, unfortunately, she has no idea what the hell she's
no,
doing.
No, she doesn't.
And what made me mad is I hate that Alex guy who's always teasing her all the time, and he got to have the last word, and it shows what a retard he is. So let's check this out.
Marissa is not confident at all in the things she's coming up with, and she wants everybody's opinion on them. I don't think it's a smart move.
Did she tell you I said she was the next one that's going to be gone? Do you feel the pressure of that?
Nope.
Because it's kind of like riding
chef.
On you.
Is it?
I mean, unless you're going to put her in like a cheerleading outfit, I'm not sure what she's going to bring to the table for you.
Marissa, we really like your concept.
Listen to this horrible ADR.
We don't see the leadership skills necessary to execute it.
Marissa, do that like a week later.
We might be investing in your restaurant.
No, it actually just took Bobby Flay a week to come up with that line.
Hey, if you want me to bust your balls like over a phone,
I'm good with that.
I've said to Marissa, she's going home next. And I feel like I'm a prophet since I've called everything else that's happened since we've been here.
Good luck to all of you. I really want to
like you're
guys.
Going home next?
You guys a douche nozzle and a half. Whatever that means.
Douche nozzle.
But I'm enjoying the show. It's just silly and stuff. And I guess people who just, they have to shoot themselves in the foot to get kicked off. My favorite part is the Indian guy fired his chef over the phone bill. And the guy's like, so you calling me, mate, and firing me in the middle of the night or something like that.
Isn't he Swedish?
I don't know. So Bill,
doesn't matter, not relevant.
I thought this week was the finale of Top Chef, but no, next week is.
So I told you they are dragging that shit.
They're dragging All Stars out so they can get Curtis in on Top Chef Masters. Right now he's busy taking a crap. Do you guys know what we're referencing, by the way? If you just think we're being gross for no reason. Remember on Celebrity Apprentice, what was that girl's name on the show?
Maria Canales.
Maria, she was talking about Curtis. Do you guys remember that?
And she said she didn't like him because he takes smelly poops.
Yeah, he...
You took a crap.
Yeah, she says it was gross. He took a crap in the boardroom or wherever the meeting room, and Trump is like, wait a second, that's disgusting.
It
You're
smelled
fired.
Like he ate at Scramby.
Hey! No, if you eat there, you're going to have a great smell. Okay?
It's not going to be sulfurish at all.
I swear.
Come on, Scrambies, it's great. You're going to smell like maple syrup all day long after you leave that place.
Ew.
So on Top Chef, we have Richard Blaze, we have Mike Isabella, and we have Antonia something. And they're the last three. And they have, you know, difficult challenges and stuff, though. They did the one play on thing. One thing I thought Antonia got screwed where she got the canned food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they all got to have, I mean, even though there were other shtick involved in theirs, they got to have, like, fresh food, though. Not like a can of pork and beans. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. So, anyway, let's check this out where Mike is full of shit and he shows once again that he is. Awesome music.
Mikey gave it to me twice today.
I did not give it to you twice today.
Let's take a vote on that.
What do you want me to do? I don't want to lose to you. I'm not going to give you an easy road.
I don't want an easy road. I'm actually excited to have Morimoto. If I pull it off, that's a huge feat.
It should be a walk in the park for you. You know, me and Blaise got the tough ones. I mean, you think...
You're so full. Then why didn't you pick Morimoto?
Because I knew my show wasn't even the biggest challenge.
Really?
Really.
I'm going to call bull on that one. Who has the hardest dish? That would be me. I'm sorry. There's no comparison on a level of stress, but, I mean, I'll still kick his butt.
You know, I've never made a biscuit in my life.
You will tomorrow.
No, I won't.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do a flaky empanada. You know, I'm going to take a risk tomorrow. I'm putting it all out there.
We're not line cooks. We're not sous chefs. We want to be top chef. You got to be creative.
Well, I'm doing the same thing. I'm not going traditional by any route. I'm going to change some things up, add some flavors. You know, if I blow it, I blow it.
You know, Mikey, he got a good gig with fried chicken and biscuits. He doesn't have to reach and kind of understand a culture like me and Antonia have to.
I think Blaze thought coming back, Antonia would be his toughest challenge. And I think that I've changed his vision. I'm not just crossing my fingers and saying, yeah, I need this. I want it. I want it, and I'm going to take it.
God, Richard needs to crush this guy, Bill.
I hate him so much.
He really needs to crush him. Oh, my God. And, you know, that
He's
was
He's just so
thing.
Overly confident.
They had to make these chefs their final, their last supper. I was about to say final supper. They had to make them, and the one he got was chicken, fried chicken, and biscuits. Wouldn't you have said, and some corn and mashed potatoes and
You'd
some...
You'd go all southern.
Chocolate parfait. Or something
chocolate
like that.
Chocolate parfait.
You know, they have that at, like, KFC. Don't they still have that?
Oh! Do you remember whenever they had that double chocolate cake at KFC?
Yes.
It was like a ring. It was, like, uber-duper chocolatey. That was good.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I miss KFC. I haven't eaten one of those in years.
I am going to eat you for supper.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, Richard Blaze, what is he? He has to make goulash for Wolfgang Puck. And I was like, I was worried at that point. I was like, oh, shit. But maybe he'll do something cool, like make like a fried egg. No. Like fried bird's nest out of potato or something. And put some yolk.
Tomato water.
Yeah, tomato water for an hour.
Tomato water.
And a fruit roll up. But so it came down to Antonia and Michael where they had to make another meal real quick. What do you say? A bite for each of them. And that was pretty nerve wracking too. And I was like, I want Mike and Richard to be in the finale. So I felt bad for Antonia, but I wanted them because I want Mike to get beat. But I know there's every season of this show, whoever I'm rooting for doesn't win. So I'm really worried, Bill.
Well, and Richard gets really flustered for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. Oh, man. So what's going to happen? I'm going to be nervous during that thing, you know?
Oh, I do.
That's some music from Quantum Kitchen. I was like, is that Queens of the Stone Age?
That's what I was just going to say. Let's see.
That's going to be our new interlude music. But there was this,
I love quick ending to it.
And there's even cooler. Check out this cool kind of like quantum science meets food music, Steven. Listen. Whoa. That's what it sounds like.
Is it Ziggy and
that's Marcel's thinking. That's what his brain sounds like as he's coming up with fried potato.
That
next.
Sounds like a ringtone on my iPhone.
Oh, Bill, your phone's ringing.
Look here, ringtone.
You guys
want it?
Here's my ringtone. But it is annoying whenever I get text messages because it plays the whole thing.
Okay. Here it is.
Oh, my God. How long is that going? That is slower. Listen. I think you need to change it to this one. That's pretty sweet.
I will.
Yeah. I get nothing.
No, I don't actually have that ringtone. That's just one of them. That'd be far too weird.
It's on your phone, but you don't use it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the stock ringtone. Sorry, Jesus. Sorry, Jesus.
Seriously, do not disrespect country music fans.
Well, no
don't
one said
do
anything.
It.
What is he talking about?
He's touchy.
So sensitive.
That guy's a dick.
From uranium 238.
I can't wait till next week they have odor eaters. He's like, I got an idea. Ding, ding, ding. Odor eaters. Make your feet smell good. It's like, all right, dude, we get it. You're a singer.
Your feet smell less.
And I'm a genius.
Bill, we got to see the final The Cape.
We did.
It only aired online because NBC are a bunch of pricks.
Really?
Yeah, you can only watch it on Hulu. I actually got the free week of Hulu Plus just so I could watch it in HD. And I tried out Hulu Plus, and there's not enough good stuff on there to pay $7.99 a month. It's not good enough, I don't think, Bill.
No, there's – you know what? I would pay the $7.99 a month if they had more cartoons.
That would be sweet. You know, I got – they have like two seasons – of the original Degrassi High.
Oh, no.
And I was
yeah,
like,
but don't
nice.
They have that on Netflix now, too?
Not that I know of. If they do, my head's going to explode.
I swear I was going through Netflix the other night, and
my
they did.
My head just went scanners.
So I'm going to look that up.
Now, I'm not talking about the remake, the original. If that's
no, I'm talking Degrassi High, not Next Generation.
Oh.
So my envisionment...
Bill, of the Degrassi Junior High.
Now, we got to agree, the best thing, we don't have to agree, but the best thing about The Cape was Scales.
Yeah.
Played by the Juggernaut. And
well, I would have to say it's 50-50 Scales and James Frain.
Yeah, James Frain as
Chess.
Peter Fleming slash Chess.
What I was going to say is Peter Fleming and Scales scenes together, they were fantastic. Yes. And in this final episode, the black guy who was traitor to Vince and pretty much...
Traitorous black man.
He caused everything to happen. Like call really loudly for stuff at Chipotle. he gets screwed over now because Chess figures out a way to screw him into getting arrested and blamed for all the bad stuff that is going on. So then Vince's wife wants to help him, and now they're all in danger. So here is a great scene with Scales, Steven.
Mm-hmm. And look what you've done, you traitorous black man.
And Peter Fleming. And, you know, I know the show's done with, Bill. It's never coming back. And here's the last Cape clip we'll ever play on the show. Let's check it out. I'm really sad.
From Uranium 238.
That's not it. What the hell are you talking about?
There you are. Thought your man would have come to you, Peter.
Chow tailors presidents and kings and never leaves his shop.
A common touch. I respect that. A bit dodgy meeting in a place like this, isn't it? People might get the wrong idea about us.
It was your mug on that tape, Dominic, not mine.
I was portrayed as the victim, mate. Working class lad gets the old shakedown. Nah. It's your butt on the crapper with this one, mate, not mine.
But if I go away, what happens to you, hmm? Without me, you're no longer the godfather of crime in Palm City.
Nah, not me, you mate.
Really?
Pete. Thank you.
Very nice.
So, what about Marty Voigt? Have you got him in hand?
So far, but I fear this Faraday lawyer's on a bit of a crusade. She can pull Voigt's heartstrings, get him talking, then we have a problem.
You want me to send the boys round, give her a little message?
I don't want to make a martyr of her. Just shut her down.
And your chief?
My people can handle him. It's enough we can rely on your continued discretion, Dominic.
Well, you know I'm worth a bit more than the price of a Shang Tong suit, don't you? Chess.
Oh, Cece, I know I'm upset too.
I just enjoy the hell out of that.
You know, there's a scene in this, Bill, where we know that Vince, he can disappear by using illusion. He throws down the smoke pellet and then he disappears and he's going around the corner. But there's a part where he does it in front of a group of people and he takes his wife, the black guy, and his wife, the black wife, right? It's like three people in front of a group of people. He throws down like three pellets and then they disappear. I'm like, okay, how did he pull this one off?
Well, that's the secret to
he's got him powers, and Bill.
David Keith.
That's right. And by the way, couldn't they have gotten some David Keith on the show? Seriously, would have been awesome. Get some David Keith and Keith David together.
You never know. It could have happened if they just would have given us more.
Yeah. And there was so there's a great scene where Scales is going to kill Vince, but the black guy, I should really remember the character's name, jumps in
front
of
the
bullet.
Black guy's wife hears it.
You know what I love is there was a great scene that the black guy feels guilty and he confesses to everything.
Marty
convinces everything to Vince's wife that he framed her husband and he feels really bad that he's dead now and everything. And he's not, you know, we know he's not really dead. So when Marty's laying there dying and he knows he's a bad person and he's going to hell or whatever, Vince tells him that who he is. And I thought that was a good scene, Bill.
That was. He was like, you know, you've done good, Marty. Everything's okay. You saved yourself. You're not going to hell.
Through the whole episode, didn't you want him to just tell his wife, it's me?
Driving me crazy because it's the last episode. It's called Endgame. I'm thinking, well, maybe they had enough time to kind of.
He's gonna shoot Chess right in the head, then turn and go, "Look, it's me!" And then that was the end. Am I right? That's what I predicted would happen, but it didn't.
I feel like I'm a prophet.
Yeah, you're not. jag hole.
The other thing I noticed was Summer Glau was wearing even more skimpy outfit in this episode than any other episode I'd seen.
And it was out of nowhere. And it's just like,
Is she dressed like a streetwalker?
Why didn't they have her dressing like that from the first episode to get the fanboy guys?
Absolutely.
Oh my god.
But, I like the cape and it's gone and stuff like that. I'll miss it.
Yeah, I was really hoping that someone else would pick it up, but I guess it just probably won't happen.
Yeah. Can we just say, speaking of pickup, that Fringe has been renewed for another season?
Yes. A full order, a full 22-episode order.
That is awesome. I'm not sure why that happened, but it is awesome.
Lightning strike.
You know what was funny about this? I was talking to Dad.
What was funny?
I want to just tell you guys something, first of all. Because my dad said something to me that drove me nuts. It's a pet peeve of mine. I'm like that guy who owns Chipotle, okay? I really get worked up over
it. It makes you clench your buttocks.
Do you know how stressful this is for me right now?
I don't like when people say something jumped the shark. First of all, do people even know what they're referring to? When something jumped the shark. It's when Fonzie jumped over a great white shark water skiing on Happy Days, which, by the way, is one of the coolest effing moments that ever happened on that show. So it's not a negative. It's badass, okay?
I would have to agree with that, only because Happy Days is always so boring.
Yeah, he's jumping over a freaking great white, Steven. That's awesome! Don't tell me something. If you tell me a show jumped the shark, you're telling me, oh, something badass happened?
No, it would be when they went to the Dude Ranch. You go Dude Ranch instead of jump the shark.
No, I think a better usage of a term where something's gone bad is nuke the fridge from Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But my main thing is I hate when people say, oh, this is a jump the shark moment. It's like, hey, do you mind if I punch you in the freaking head?
You know what's crazy is the guy that comes up with that, John Hine, now works for Howard Stern, he's a millionaire because of that term, jump the shark.
Yeah, and he's wrong. That was a great moment.
So Dad said that?
No, he was talking about Olivia William Bell jumped the shark, and I told him, I was like, you know what? I think it's a lot of fun.
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know, but I think it's awesome how she's William Bell and hitting on Astrid and making her feeling uncomfortable.
That's hilarious.
I thought that was hilarious.
Do you notice like Astrid she like buttoned? Yes. And there's this great scene here where they're trying to look for a body for William Bell to inhabit, something brain dead, and he comes up with the idea, what about the cow? And let's check this scene out, because I thought it was great.
No, nothing. None of them fit the parameters.
You're either looking for such specific conditions to accommodate your transfer, William. Brain dead patient like this could be one in a million.
See the man with the long. That great music to
William. No. Even if we were able to transfer your consciousness safely inside you, there are
matters to consider. We would communicate through my brain waves. You would hook me up to an EEG machine and decipher my thoughts.
They may work. But still, I'd have to milk you.
We could assign Astrid.
The pervy old man.
Walter?
Put down that server or do something.
Look, if Dana Gray was hit by lightning twice, do you think that would help to explain why she's so overly electromagnetic?
I suppose that's possible. The ions due to the multiple lightning strikes could cause her molecules to be supercharged.
Possibly.
I love when she did the eyebrow
electromagnetism. What do you ask?
We don't think that she's trying to live forever. We think she's trying to die.
Dana Gray's description just went out of the police bulletin in Dorchester. Somebody spotted her.
And I thought it was so cool they brought this guy into here. Do you guys, it was a couple of episodes ago, I said, have we seen that guy in our world yet? Because he's a main character in the alternate right. universe. And then he shows up here. I was like, oh, yes, that's awesome that he's there. And
but
he
wasn't the original guy the guy that exploded in fire?
No. Remember what that was is that he went to that school with Olivia when she was young, and he had that ability where he could control people. Remember that? And
okay.
when
I'm
they,
getting, I think I'm getting things confused.
When he went over into the other world, that guy, what's his name, by the way? I can't remember his name. It's,
I can't. It's that guy.
Olivia's partner. When he sees
the white guy,
when he sees that guy who can control people with his emotions, he's like, "Hey, so and so," and he like recognizes him. So whoever that he was on that other world, I'm just confusing the hell out of everyone and myself. But I thought that was cool, and the idea of the lady who can't die, I thought was neat. But I wanted some more emotional payoff at the end.
Yeah. She needs to go to Ireland and get involved with the Sons of Anarchy.
She needs to leave Deadwood, then travel to Ireland.
Yes.
But I wanted some more emotional payoff there. Like, I thought it was going to get something like when Peter Weller's episode from White Tulip.
Yeah.
That made me, like, choke up that stuff. Mm-hmm. And she just, like, well, you know, in this one it was like...
Yeah, when it exploded in the distance, I was just like, oh, okay.
Well, weren't you waiting for her to wake up in the morgue later or something? I thought they
no,
were like, well.
I saw that the episode was almost over.
But it was like, they were like, well, she's dead. And I was like, well, shouldn't they ride in the ambulance? Because she was shot in the head before and she came back to life.
I don't know. I guess I just didn't really have. I was so involved with the whole William Bell storyline
mm-hmm.
that I almost didn't care about the lady who couldn't die or
you know,
wanted to die.
I loved how Peter just hates this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And Walter's just giddy over it, and he's like, a couple of weeks or whatever. He wants Olivia back so bad, and that moment at the end where she kind of comes back for a second with the bells in the distance, I thought was good. So
I thought it was funny. The entire episode, I was grinning because of the Leonard Nimoy impression.
Yeah, I can't speak for my dad, but I think what he meant is like just so silly that it jumped the shark. But I disagree. It's...
No, I thought it was very. It was like it was fan service, but it was enjoyable fan service.
And it was. I think that they've given Anna Torv so much great material this season. From her being Olivia and for her being upset over Peter and being in love and just all these different emotions. She's had like a great run on this season.
Yeah, but as being an actor, that's got to be really difficult to have to switch back and forth between characters.
And it's believable when she's William Bell and then she snaps to Olivia for a second and Peter's like, Olivia, you know, she does a great job. She's really she's really good. What do you think,
Steven? Agree.
Do you agree,
I've enjoyed I didn't think anything about jumping a shark, you know, with that.
Yeah. I was just, you know, my dad, you know.
I think like, dad just needs to unclench his butt.
I mean, a show has to go on for almost too long for that to happen, you know.
Yeah. That was a great Olivia snicker. Or was it William Bell snicker? So, Fringe, yeah, good stuff. And what do you guys say we do some news? What do you say, Bill?
Oh, I'm not ready. No, I'm not ready. I'm ready.
No. What's up, Doc?
That's so funny that you just played that, because during the break, I was in the kitchen, and I bought these massive carrots to make soup, and I decided, oh, I'll just have a carrot during the break. And I can't have a carrot... without saying, "What's up, Doc?"
What's up, Doc?
I just can't do it. It's so funny that that was played. That's hilarious.
I am going to eat you for supper.
No, 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 no.
All right, Bill, let's do the news.
those. That's a great song.
I'd have to milk you.
All right, Bill. What do we have in the news this week?
All right. A woman had been jogging Sunday afternoon in North Seattle when she called 911 to report she'd been assaulted with a Frisbee.
What?
The incident occurred around 4:40 in the afternoon. The woman told police she came across three men in their 20s throwing a Frisbee in a triangle and that they were throwing the disc across the street. She stopped, made eye contact with one of the men. That man described as having a round face and wearing a white bandana.
It was Charlie Brown.
Ooh, ninja star to the head. Ow.
The man then threw the disc directly at the woman.
What a dick.
The men all laughed when the disc hit, and she said it caused pain and bruise to her right thigh.
It's kind of ridiculous.
The woman said she was going to let the issue go, but it appears it's become more serious. The same men in a black Subaru reportedly drove by the woman's residence when she was in the front yard, and one acted as though he was going to throw a Frisbee again.
Wow, this is Frisbee assault.
A drive-by Frisbee assault. I think this woman's out of her mind.
It wouldn't hurt that much, would it?
It's still kind of creepy if it's true, though.
The guy's holding the Frisbee.
I kind of picture it like, hey, here's a Frisbee. You want to play? You know, and he throws it to her, and she's like,
yo, bitch, you want to play?
The woman stated she was not interested in making a big deal out of the issue and did not want to get anyone in trouble. She stated she just wanted the subjects talked to. Officers spoke to neighbors and were told of a house where the suspected scofflaws. What the hell is a scofflaw?
Scofflaw.
Scofflaw.
Hey, if you want me to bust your balls, like over a phone.
Okay. One neighbor told police he had the Frisbee fly over his car, just missing the hood earlier in the day. Man, those dangerous Frisbees, plastic, they're going to hurt someone.
And she called 911?
Yeah. It sounds like the guys made eye contact with the lady and thought, hey, if she's stopping to watch, why not throw her the Frisbee?
What?
Now, it sounds like they were just being nice.
He's like, hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up later.
First, we got to drop off my Mr. Microphone.
Then I'll grab my Frisbee and throw it at your friggin' head.
Unbelievable.
I'd have to milk you.
Okay. Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It was a normal Tuesday morning until a man in his birthday suit crashed through the ceiling of an unsuspecting woman. This unsuspected woman had a ceiling? Wait. That's just a badly built sentence there, Mr. Reporter Man. The man was running from police when he crashed through the ceiling of a woman's home. A little better. He was completely nude. Yeah, we got that. Birthday suit, nude, yes. Well, I was asleep in my bed and hearing this loud crashing noise. She was startled by the noise. Townsend got out of bed to investigate, and she received a rude awakening. He was naked, Townsend said. There's this guy standing in the middle of my living room, and there's a big gaping hole in my ceiling. Damn. Townsend screamed for the man to leave, but the man wanted to borrow a pair of shorts.
I can see Townsend, that.
Yeah, no shit. Townsend kept telling him to leave, and he bolted out the front door. Then he gets halfway out the door, runs back in screaming at me to just borrow a pair of shorts. So finally, I get him to leave, and he grabs my jacket and steals it, and he wraps it around him, and he runs out the door. Obviously, the guy didn't want to be naked. Why not try and assist him in not being naked?
You could do that.
Give him the sheet off your bed for crying out loud, you stingy bitch.
I'm still trying to figure out how he can crash through a ceiling.
Ain't it awful?
Obviously, that building wasn't up to code.
Is she living underground?
She lives in a tent.
How can he run on her ceiling?
I don't know. Maybe he had just, whoa, what a feeling. He was dancing on the ceiling.
He just has bad timing.
Something was happening there. What it was wasn't exactly clear.
He was hooked on a feeling.
Totally embarrassing.
According to Townsend, the man was staying in a nearby apartment. He crawled into the attic. There you go.
Okay.
Through the firewall and fell into the apartment.
I see.
It's your butt on the crapper with this one, mate, not mine.
He was convicted in 2007 for possession of cocaine, and in 2010, a warrant was issued for his arrest because of failure to report to his probation officer. So what about the hole in Townsend's ceiling and her jacket? They returned it, asked if she would like it back. She said no.
She said burn it.
I don't want none of his naughty bits on my jacket. Would you like the jacket back, man? It's got fresh penis on it. Sorry. Okay. An Allentown woman allegedly hired a hitman through a website called hitmanforhire.com.
Oh, that's convenient. I like that.
That's not just the only convenient part. She used PayPal to settle her bill.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Marissa Mark lived in Allentown when she agreed to pay a hitman $37,000 to kill a California woman by shooting her in the head. Well,
oh my god!
Specific.
What is this bitch's problem?
Choking on my own spit. And
my god, Bill!
Yeah, I'm okay. It's okay.
What's up, Doc?
What I find shocking is that she had $37,000 to pay to kill a woman. And that's a lot of money. You could do a lot of stuff with $37,000. But it turns out Marissa Mark was arrested Tuesday morning at her home in New Jersey City and had an initial appearance in Allentown in front of the U.S. Attorney's Office. Mark, who lived off Armour Street, contacted an individual identified as person number one through his website, Hitman for Hire, in September 2006 to arrange a murder of a California woman identified only by the initials ALR. Now, I'm sure Gary Busey could come up with a great series of words.
You're right. He probably could. I love Gary Busey.
Mark provided a full description of the woman and her work address and agreed to pay the $37,000 for the murder. The target of the plot was not physically harmed. According to the indictment, she paid the individual $19,000 through PayPal using stolen or unauthorized credit cards, and agreed to pay the remaining $18,000 when the murder was completed. Well, she's just being smart.
I feel good about everything.
Now, PayPal takes like 10%, right?
Yeah.
That's really, wow.
Well, it depends on what the transaction is. Sometimes, I guess...
Murder for Hire, they take less.
Murder for Hire, they wash their hands of all of it.
Oh, okay. They do the Pontius Pilate thing and just ignore it all.
Jesus!
So now the woman faces 8 counts of related to the alleged plot, including conspiracy and use of interstate commerce facility and the commission of murder for hire. Jesus, can't they get a little more simple with the
it's
legal
like
jargon?
The bitch hired someone to kill somebody. Damn, book her ass and shut up. Get out of here. Right, Steven?
Right.
you know, I have a ringtone that sounds exactly like all right, so teens, oh, man, San Francisco teens who thought they had heard a ghost in their home. Now, I think it might just be Bad Ronald.
That's scaring me.
Bad Ronald.
Oh, that would be scary shit, though. The ghost, okay, but Bad Ronald, you're never getting him out of your house. You got to fumigate for that shit.
Unless he just busts through the wall and yells, Mommy. Mother! Oh, good God.
Do you know how stressful this is for me right now?
What's that place called? Atrania?
Atrenta.
Atrenta.
I'm the king of Atrenta.
Will you be my princess?
Bad Ronald's a pimp, yo.
Will you come stay in my walled-in bathroom?
That's like the one remake that I want to make. Bad Ronald remake.
I am not weird.
Everybody said
What's that dude's name?
Guillermo del Toro?
Yes. He's doing Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Which scared the shit out of me as a kid, so I'm not going to watch it. Do you remember that?
No.
Where the lady has
With Kim Darby.
These weird little dudes living in her house, and at the end they drag her away. She's like got her camera and taking pictures. She's flashing them to scare them off, but she runs out of flashes, and they drag her down in the basement.
That's the movie. I remember I kept telling you about the one that, and your dad said it was some other movie.
Yeah, my dad jumped the shark a lot.
Is that a metaphor for dementia?
Jumping the shark is awesome.
Yeah, and you know,
oh, there's my dad.
Both of those films, Bad Ronald and Are You Afraid of the Dark, are available through Warner Archive.
Oh, no, they scared Cece, Bill.
Oh, no. Well, maybe she should just eat some pizza.
Less educated.
All right, so they thought they heard a ghost in their San Francisco Presidio Heights neighborhood on Saturday night. Instead, they just found a man masturbating in their bedroom.
Oh, God.
Oh, you're not a ghost.
Jesus. Two girls ages 14 and 17 and a 17-year-old boy were at home in about 9:35 p.m. Saturday when they heard a noise in an adjacent room. The teens thought it was a ghost, but when they went to the bedroom on the third floor of the home, the boy noticed the door to the room was closed.
It was something much worse.
Although he had remembered leaving that door open.
Pleasuring himself.
Mike Cooper!
What are you doing here?
I thought you only masturbated in libraries.
What if I told you we got video of you performing a sexual act?
I would say sell it. It's worth money.
I wasn't performing.
The teens opened the door and found the man standing naked inside the room and masturbating. He looked at them and groaned, causing them to flee and call 911 from a neighbor's house.
Spectacle yourself.
Well, at least they let it. You know, they left and let him finish.
Officers
responded and found the man identified as Tyrell Brown, 28, inside a closet. So he didn't.
Oh, good lordy!
He didn't. He didn't just leave after he was finished. He went inside the closet.
Oh, so he turned gay afterwards. Oh, wait, maybe he was gay to begin with. Never mind.
He's in there with Tom Cruise and John Travolta, clearing his beatings. Brown was arrested on suspicion of lewd conduct. Suspicion?
I think.
Yeah, he's like, he's crossing his legs and he's naked. He's like, prove it.
Hey, the door was shut. They opened the door.
Yeah, I didn't say anything. They didn't have to open it. Burglary, possession of marijuana. Oh, that's too bad.
Whoa, what did he get? Wait, he's naked. Where is he storing the pot? Oh my god!
No, it's another one of those stories hiding it in his bum or something.
His bum? A cheeky bum looker.
Cheeky bum looker. So the home. Wait. Oh, the Presidio. Isn't that where ILM is now?
I think so. Yeah, it is.
No. I'm not one of them.
Maybe he's a Lucasfilm worker that just went absolutely insane from working on shit films.
Prequels 3D, I'm going to jerk it!
Close the door!
Had intercourse, sex.
Okay, we got it.
You know, they're very cautious in New Jersey. When they, when police responded to a call from a concerned bus driver Tuesday night, who found what he thought was a suspicious package in one of the
But hey, I just baked cake.
Yeah, a suspicious package in one of the luggage compartments on his bus. The driver had pulled over into the Route 77 Wawa to purchase a drink as he was heading home. He thought he saw the suspicious person loitering by the bus. But when he came out and found a package in the compartment he thought had been empty, he called police.
We're going to get whacked or something.
Yeah. The New Jersey bomb squad responded, and it turns out it was a box with a fruit basket in it.
Ooh. Oh, mmm.
Now, that is an awful waste.
It is. They forgot it or something?
Oh, yes. What's funny, why didn't the guy just look in the box? Oh, okay.
Exploding fruit.
You never know, them bananas with dynamite sticks in them.
Uh-oh, what's that?
All right, and last story. I think this might go back to one of the two naked people that we've talked about in the news already. When police pulled up to the 900 block of Bay Street in San Francisco, what is with these naked men in San Francisco?
Wait, do you...
What?
Never mind, go ahead.
They found... They found what they were not expecting. A naked man walking down the street. A concerned woman was nice enough to try to cover the man's parts with a towel, but the towel just didn't stay in place.
Sorry, babe, the towel's not big enough.
Asked by officers why he was walking around nude, the man retorted, "Why were you wearing clothes?"
I give this whole thing a sphincter factor of about 9.5.
The only way to solve the paradox, the police officers decided, was check the naked man into the hospital for mental health assessment.
Uh-oh, what's that?
I think they were just scared by his clarity.
The guy made sense.
Why are we wearing clothes?
Strip off your clothes. Be enlightened like this guy.
Let's all get naked. Fun. And that's the naked news for this week.
Yay! the Chipotle guy is very thankful.
He loves being naked.
I think he was pretending to be a ghost, too.
You know what's funny is the way I am, if I open one Chipotle restaurant, I'd probably be like, well, this is successful, and never think to open 4 billion of them.
No,
what does he say? 1,000 of them. And does he own all of them, or does he, what do? You franchise them out?
I think he franchises them,
You franchise them out, and then you get how much percent?
I thought McDonald's bought them.
Chipotle?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You crazy.
There's no way they bought that.
That's what I heard.
Who'd you hear it from?
My husband. And he knows everything.
Let's look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
I'm looking it up right now from
Reuters.
Okay, so Chipotle made an initial public offering in 2006, and McDonald's owned a minority share of them for a period of time. They don't own them, but they invested in them.
Okay.
Chipotle.
Okay, Foggy.
All right, Bill, what do you say? You want to do some DVDs today?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. You know, that reminds
me of, have a ringtone.
Bill, that reminds me of, remember CBS used to do the In the News or something? That's what that music
absolutely
reminds me of.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's do some DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
HD Blu-ray standard definition.
DVDs.
Woo! DVDs, everybody. Quantum DVDs. Everything's quantum.
I'm excited. This is very exciting.
All right, Bill. What do we have in the DVDs this week? This is awesome.
All right, DVDs starting with All Dogs Go to Heaven on Blu-ray. The excellent Don Bluth film with the voices of everyone from Cannonball Run.
I'm so sad.
Do all dogs go to heaven?
No, there is no heaven for dogs.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Ah, boo!
Dogs just die.
That doesn't seem right.
That's really mean.
Could you imagine if there was a doggy heaven? It would just be covered in shit and piss.
Well, they would be anthropomorphic and they'd have toilets.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because it would be perfect, right? It would be awesome.
I wonder if they... maybe they would be like angel dog janitors that like cleaned up after it. So maybe it would be that.
It's just like our, it's kind of like our human world, but not. They're dogs.
Okay. Well, I can go along with that, I think. Absolutely. I agree. I'm not challenging you on that.
Damn.
All right, next DVD Blu-ray is a film with Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst called All Good Things.
No, wait.
Whenever I hear that guy's name, I think of Darkwing Duck's niece.
Gosling?
Gosling?
Wasn't that her name?
That was her name.
Okay, never mind. So is this a good movie, Bill?
I don't know, but I do know, because I'm a pervert, that Kirsten Dunst is naked in it.
Genius.
That's what I thought.
But when does Darkwing Duck come out on DVD?
Right after this.
Soon, but I also heard he's naked in it. So.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I'll take that. Gross. boo. Come on, Duck's naked? We see him all the time. Naked, right?
No, but it's a scene with Launchpad McQuack, so...
They have feathers, right?
That's
they
all
do
close.
Have feathers.
Who's Launchpad McQuack?
Launchpad McQuack was Darkwing Duck's sidekick.
Oh!
A good little gunpowder?
I know. He was in DuckTales, too.
Sweet.
He always had the pilot's hat with glasses on his head.
Okay, I know who that is.
Okay, I got gotcha.
All right, sorry, didn't mean to get all obscure there for you. All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is Black Swan.
Another cartoon by Don Bluth.
This is the one with Natalie Portman.
Right, where she does all of the ballerina dancing in it. No one else does it.
You read that article too, didn't you?
Yeah. This girl, she's like, mention it!
I can't believe they didn't mention me. She didn't mention me in her Oscar speech. What? I didn't know the dancing.
Get over it, honey. You got paid exactly for the gig, right? Come on.
You didn't hear the body double for Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman complain.
I remember, wasn't the Flashdance long, long time ago? She was like, Jennifer Beals didn't dance. I did. What a feeling.
Wasn't it the lady that sang the music or something? What am I getting confused with? Who the hell knows? Sometimes I talk to myself and confuse myself. Yes. That's a problem.
When?
All right, so Black Swan.
I want to see it, but I'll watch it on the HBO in like a year from now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Up top, Steven.
Look how big my penis is.
What?
I don't know.
All right, moving on from that.
It's not sexy. It's animal.
No, it's not sexy at all.
I love Serge. All right. Next Blu-ray is Charlotte's Web.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, I cannot. It's serious.
Oh, Charlotte.
The live action one.
Oh.
Yes.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen the live-action Charlotte's Web?
No. Is it good?
Is it amazing.
If it's as good as this live-action Spider-Man, I'll check it out.
That's some pig.
When?
What?
All right. Next DVD and Blu-ray is a film called Dogtooth.
Wait a second.
Dogtooth.
And I bring it up because the director has just about the best name ever. Yorgos Lanthimos.
Is that the guy who did The Final Sacrifice?
No. That's Great Anus. what the hell is that guy's full name? He comes from a long line of great anuses.
Yeah. I love that.
The final... Oh. Tejardus Great Anus.
Tejardus? The hell?
That is so unfortunate.
Some kind of extra from Doctor Who or something? Because it rhymes with TARDIS. I got nothing.
Tejardus. Or Jardus.
Yeah, right.
Final Sacrifice. Okay. Moving on. I don't even know what Dogtooth is about. I've heard it mentioned that it's kind of...
I think it's like going through dental school to help dogs or something.
That's entirely possible, but I heard it's one of those... quirky indie films.
Oh, Steven, we love the quirk.
We love the quirk.
Huh? Quirk, yeah.
And I believe it's Greek.
Ow, what the hell?
And I don't know if Tejardus Great Anus was Greek, but it sounds Greek. That's too bad. Next Blu-ray and DVD is Fair Game. Not the Fair Game with Billy Baldwin.
I was going to say.
Boo.
I knew. Yes, and Cindy Crawford, where they have sex in a train car for really no apparent reason.
Yeah, the most inept Russians, I think, trying to kill them.
Yes. Yeah.
And Billy Baldwin has gone to John Woo school of holding two guns for no reason.
No, this is a Fair Game with Sean Penn and Naomi Watts, directed by Doug Liman. Where has he been?
We might be screwed on this one.
Is this the movie that...
Why do they always want to do it the hard way?
Do you remember that movie with Robert De Niro where Bruce Willis won't shave his beard? And Sean Penn made this movie where the dog dies at the end and it... makes everyone so upset that the movie bombs at Cannes. What is that movie called? Damn it, Steven.
Is it called What Just Happened?
Yes. It's Barry Levinson, I think, directed it.
Yeah.
There's a. It's so horrible how this dog dies that it turns the whole audience off. Is this the movie that is based on?
The answer would be no. I was trying to make a joke, but I ruined the show. Oh. So sorry.
No.
Ruined the show.
I'm so sad.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, this is one of those like political thrillers.
Political thriller.
Yeah. Steven, I'm not a big political thriller guy.
Steven, will you be seeing this movie?
Nah.
Political thriller?
Nah.
I'm only going to see it if Billy Baldwin and Cindy Crawford show up and have sex in a train car.
Oh, dude, sign me up.
Yeah, I'm there. Oh, and if Cindy Crawford goes into a Radio Shack and pretends that
she like flirts with the computer guy.
Yeah. God, that movie was awful.
It really was bad.
Why not pick up 3 seasons of Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman on DVD while you're...
Remember that show had that real studly guy on it, Laura? With the flowing
studly hand? Guy.
Studly white Indian man.
Yeah, he was like a white man hanging out with Paleface hanging out with
John Lumbar.
Genius.
Lumbar?
All I know is that guy was hot, right, Steven?
His name couldn't be John Dunbar because it would be too
Wait
close.
A second.
Dances with Wolves. Sorry. Moving on, why not pick up the Blu-ray of The Greatest Story Ever Told, where Max van Sydow is Jesus.
It's all fun and games until you get hit with a chair.
That's my favorite part of that movie. Jesus gets hit in the head with the folding chair. Because Santino,
the huge royal
does
rumble
the cobra
on the mount.
On him.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man.
So my envisionment.
Yeah, hey Santino, what did you think of this movie?
Masterpiece.
He doesn't speak the English very well, does he?
This is a masterpiece.
This is the only word he knows.
This is a game. Hey,
how are you doing, Santiago?
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania. Oh, what a moron.
People might get the wrong idea about us.
All right, next Blu-ray is... I swear this has already been on Blu-ray, or maybe it's HD DVD. Doesn't matter. It's one of my favorite movies ever. Long Kiss Goodnight, Gina Davis, Samuel Jackson.
Oh, wow. Heather and I just watched that on Netflix like earlier this week, I swear to God.
Freaking love that movie.
It's a fun movie. Rennie Harlan, he's, you know, overboard and he cheated on Gina Davis, but that's a fun movie. And it's because,
it really is.
And I think it's more because of Shane Black than it is Rennie Harlan.
Well, it's that kind of that really cynical, tongue-in-cheek... action that Shane Black writes so well. Plus, I think it was really a very star-making turn for Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, he's great in that. Where's
but,
that line
I remember
goes,
seeing it in the theater and just being like, whoa, awesome.
There's that part, Bill, I forget his line, but he says something witty, and he goes, I would have been in sooner, but I was busy thinking up that line. That he just, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, is that the scene after him and his partner are blackmailing the guy and she's acting like she's a prostitute?
Yeah. And that's Anna Kanakridis in that scene.
Yes, that is. Anna Kanakridis.
Is that her name? Is it Anna Kanakridis or is it some...
Melina Kanakridis.
Oh, that's it. That's one of those multiple Melina Kanakridis.
Anna Canapana Canna Cream.
Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio. How many syllables was that, Steve?
14.
Count.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Oh my God.
Yeah, it's funny because I used to watch that show that Melina Kanakridis was in, that Providence.
Yeah, Melina Kanakridis.
All right, next is Mad Men Season 4 on Blu-ray. Yeah.
You know, I'm really pissed that there's some kind of like Lionsgate and AMC are fighting over money, so the new season of Mad Men hasn't even started filming yet.
What?
Yeah. I love that show, and it hasn't...
I thought they had already been filming it.
No, usually it would start like around the summer, Bill, but it hasn't even started yet because they're fighting over rights and percentages and crap like that.
All right, that's pure bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It sucks. But I love Mad Men. Fantastic show.
I've watched the first season and half of the second season, and I still have half the second season and the third season. And then I'm going to pick up the fourth season. I'm really digging it.
It's awesome, brosif.
And I love that opening. God, I love that opening.
Why is she crying now? I do, too. I love that music. And it's a really cool put together intro to that show.
Yeah. All right. Scream 1, 2, and 3 are all on Blu-ray. But I can't tell you if the first Scream is the uncut version. So, I would buy it if I knew if it was the uncut version. Because I love Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich. They're just fantastic.
Matthew Lillard is so goddamn annoying in that movie. I think his
serial killer?
His tongue is sticking out through the entire movie.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's not in films anymore.
The whole time I'm watching, I'm like, where the hell's Freddie Prinze at? I mean, come on. They're in every movie together. Where the hell is he?
I'm looking up Matthew Lillard to see if he died.
He was in an explosion.
Oh, no. He's doing shit. He's just not doing movies.
You know, there's one
shit we're gonna see.
There's one movie with him that I like, and it's SLC Punk.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I like that movie. And
that is a good movie. It's before he met Steve-O in that.
It's before he met Freddie Prinze. That's why he's likable. Freddie Prinze ruined him, Steven.
It is.
That, you know, the Prinze guys do that.
Do you know how
that's
stressful
why,
this
that's
is
why
for
his
me
dad
right
killed
now.
Himself.
Wait a second. He killed himself?
I thought he did.
Oh, no. TC, she's very susceptible, Bill.
Or was it an overdose?
Oh no!
Yeah, the guy Bill in the movie—is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Freddie Prinze.
Oh,
you know, Chico.
I thought you were talking about in SLC Punk, his friend named Bill.
No,
never.
I hardly even remember SLC Punk. I just remember his name was Steve-O. All right, moving on. Sorry. I'm gonna pick this one up: The Secret of NIMH.
What say the name of the movie?
Queens of the Stone Age got the better of him. The Secret of NIMH on Blu-ray.
Now, if you guys want to know all the secrets of our show, check this out.
Yes, in fact, we are all rodent-like creatures.
Exactly. Except the name of our show used to be Nowhere in Mulberry House. That's why
NIMH House?
It's spelled NIMH. That's why.
Oh.
And I'm a genius.
Yes, you are. And next on Blu-ray is Soylent Green. And apparently, from what I understand, Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, that's like the biggest spoiler ever. The movie's just ruined for all new people.
Oh, my God.
Because when I watch the movie, I'm like, people.
I have never seen Soylent Green, and I know Soylent Green is people.
Yep, it's people.
So it's like no reason for me to watch it.
Oh, just watch it.
I know, you put it on. What is Soylent Green, you guys?
It's tasty.
I was thinking that I would just get it on 16mm film and then watch it.
What is that movie? Is it The Groove Tube where it's like Brown Number 5 or something like that?
Yeah.
Ah, whatever.
The Groove Tube.
What's up, Doc?
Next Blu-ray is The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Oh, my God.
So it's about spider penis.
Next. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. We'll just leave it right there.
I'm going to mention it just because I'm not aware if it's on Blu-ray or not. The SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Oh, nice. It's coming out on Blu-ray?
Yeah, apparently.
That's wicked awesome. That's wicked, eh? Because we have it on regular DVD, and I'd like to see an animated glory. SpongeBob on Blu-ray.
And moving on. Oh, this is a good combo here on Blu-ray. Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan and Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home. Both
Holy
Star Trek
balls.
Films that I enjoy.
Yeah. I love when he goes, well, double dumbass on you.
Yeah.
Get out of the way, dumbass. Double dumbass on you. Yeah, I love
I love Star Trek IV. I know a lot of people think it's stupid because of the whole whale thing, but I like seeing them out of their element.
It's a fun movie. I know it is ridiculous, but it's fun. I like it. And I liked it when I first saw it, so I'm not going to sway from that. I didn't know that the movie was being preachy to me or anything back then, and I don't know either.
I didn't know that whales would save us all or anything like that.
That's good. You never
funny
know.
When Scotty picks up the mouse to talk into it.
Hello, computer.
You would leave the man. I would kill you where you stand.
Oh, my God. That's the wrong Star Trek, though.
Isn't it? It's the same one with where Spock does the neck thing on the guy, the mind meld on the guy, that the punk rocker on the bus.
Yeah, he does the nerve pinch.
Nerve pinch.
Get off my bridge.
The whole bus starts clapping.
Yeah.
It's full of those great little character moments. Like, they're totally out of their element in the 80s. And, man, it's awfully dated, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, it works.
Next Blu-ray on Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray DVD, and digital copy, we've got Disney's Tangled.
I liked it. I enjoyed that.
I'm going to pick it up just because I'm buying everything that comes out on Blu-ray 3D.
It's awesome claymation.
Claymation?
What? What are you talking about?
Oh, I didn't know that Ron Perlman does a voice in it.
Sweet.
Of what?
When?
I'm all over that. Apparently, he's the leader of a motorcycle gang.
The horse is the star of the movie. He's
I've
awesome.
Heard that.
It's a really fun movie. Tangled. Pick it up, Steven, on your way home. It doesn't come out till Tuesday. What am I talking about?
All right, the DVD or the Blu-ray, sorry, that I'm most excited about this week, Teen Wolf.
All
right. No way.
Coming out to play. Oh, sorry. That's a cartoon. Never mind. Teen Wolf.
The cartoon.
I'm the 80s for cartoon, like movie-based cartoons.
I'm a huge fan of Teen Wolf, the cartoon. And, you know, the movie, too. I mean, come on. But I really love the cartoon, though.
It's such an appropriate story about, you know, coming into puberty and feeling like a teen wolf.
Who are you saying that? Or are you reading on the box?
No, I'm making it up.
I was like, does it say that on the box?
Coming in with age puberty.
Come on, kick your ass.
What it does say on the box is he has some pretty hairy decisions to make.
Oh. Yeah, I just remember his friend, only his friends, Boof and Styles, know his hairy stuff. You know, it's bad if I can't complete the sentence because I'm laughing. Only his friends, Boof and Styles, know his hairy secret.
Boof and Styles.
But that's not true because in the movie, everyone knows he's a werewolf.
Exactly. I mean, he's playing basketball as a werewolf.
Come back here, I'll kick your ass.
That is right. He's playing basketball.
You know, another movie that I never quite understood how it got a cartoon was RoboCop.
Yeah, it's unstable, totally.
It's like one of the most disturbing ideas ever.
Yeah, it's like getting his hand blown off in animated form or something.
No, I think they skipped that part.
That's the best part, man!
But they did leave in the blow on the hooker's boobs and the bitches leave. They did
bad language
in.
Makes for bad feelings.
a bird in the hands were two in the bush. Is that what?
What the hell are you doing?
Waste makes haste, for time is fleeting. A rolling stone is worth two in the bush.
Go look at a refrigerator. Pack your neck.
Oh, Irv Kirshner, we love you.
He will be missed.
All right, moving on. Why don't I pick up the Ten Commandments on Blu-ray?
Nah. I'd rather check out Holy Moses with Dudley Moore.
I'll just wait for the time of year that ABC puts the Ten Commandments on. They do that every year.
Do they do it on Easter?
I think that's what it is.
Speaking of Dudley Moore, what do you guys think of the new Arthur coming out?
Well, you know, on remakes, it's just a big why. But I do hope it has Arthur Reed's Jesus, but it's covered by who, though? They got to have somebody else do the song. And
they
I'm
might
thinking,
be giants.
No.
The Black Eyed Peas. Queens of the Stone Age. Oh, there she does, as you please. I'm not going there. Topsy Turvy, the Criterion Collection on Blu-ray.
What?
This is actually a movie I really like a lot. About Gilbert and Sullivan in the late 1800s. Yes, I know, I'm lame.
No, it looks really cool to me.
It's a fun movie. It's where they're making the Mikado. And it's got Jim Broadbent in it. And it's a really fun film. It's fun for
me. We might be screwed on this one.
Next Blu-ray is Tremé, the complete first season on Blu-ray.
Down in the Tremé with me and my baby. We're all going crazy while jamming and having fun. Oh, sorry.
As I still call it, Treme.
Hey, Treme is on.
I can't wait to watch me some Treme.
Maybe some cookies and Treme.
I'm going to get me some Treme. Get it, guys? sorry. I love it. Yeah! That's the Tremé drum solo, by the way.
Drum solo!
So if you guys ever ask for drum solo, you'll get it.
Well, thank
Good
you,
to know.
Drum solo.
And if you ever ask for Queens of the Stone Age, you'll get that too, Steven.
No, I'm not. I'm not. No one asks
solo.
For it.
Steven was dancing to that. Oh, that's cool.
Get the robot going.
It's like,
man, there's like actual binary code in that to make Steven dance.
It's like a bit right. stream right there.
And that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. That's awesome. There's two. That
it
I'm
is
going...
awesome. I agree.
Long Kiss Goodnight on Blu-ray and SpongeBob the Movie.
Not Teen Wolf?
And Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf. Wait, that's on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, Bill. Thanks.
You're so welcome.
Now I cannot. It's serious.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Alright, everyone, that was episode 232 of No More at Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show.
I appreciate it. Go to NoraMulberry.com and you can find a link to our forum. Join the forum and talk to us and leave comments based on all of our shows. It'll be fantastic. Also, you can play the NIMH trivia game, Steven. They also have a NIMH drop game going on. And you can go to Steven's Closet. And you can it's so bad. I'm cracking myself up where I can't stop. But also, go.
What's in Steven's Closet? I'm trying to figure that out.
What's in there? Join the forum and find out. Also, guys, call 1-206-202-3491 and you can leave us a wacky voicemail, just like that guy Rick who lives in Austria.
Austria.
From what I understand, he loves Gutlauf.
Yeah, it's also the home of the hot dog, right, guys?
It is.
I really like that.
I am going to eat you for supper.
No, don't eat me. Good times. This was a great show, guys. I'm so glad that all of you guys are back, and it was really a fun time, and I just can't contain my excitement.
No!
There's brain matter all over you.
Serious cleanup.
Wow.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
I'm doing pretty good. Oh, he's asking Steven, sorry. So, guys, that's the show, and hopefully we'll see you next week. Does anyone want to plug anything? Laura, you're going to be at Zany's this week?
Not this week.
Doing her prop comedy?
Holy shit, that's funny.
Steven, you'll be working the car shows.
Mm-hmm. We'll be opening Scrambies.
Oh, Scrambies! Cut the giant scissors and cut the ribbon.
I'll be standing next to the NIMH automobile.
And guys, our new sponsor is Scrambies. Delicious eggs any time
of day.
Someone
needs to make a commercial for Scrambies.
I do. I'd love it. Somebody give us make us a commercial for Scrambies. It'll be awesome.
Masterpiece.
Yeah. All right, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Shit, on the crapper with this one, mate. Not mine.
You're a character.
From uranium-238.
So do you think it's part shtick?
I know.
Wait a second.
It's all fun and games until you get hit with a chair.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, I cannot. It's serious.
Do you know how stressful this is for me right now?
Totally embarrassing.
We might be screwed on this one.
The hard way.
It's not sexy. It's animal.
No, it's not sexy at all.
I am going to eat you for supper.
Get the fuck out of here.
When?
Uh-oh. What's that?
People might get the wrong idea about us.
Seriously, do not disrespect country music fans. Don't do it.